93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Thursday. It's February 22nd. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia police are investigating a deadly shooting that ended with a van filled with children crashing into a building. It happened at 8:30 Wednesday night in the Fern Rock section of the city. The 23-year-old woman driving the van is dead, and five other people, including three children, are now in the hospital. Jeez. Yeah, the driver was pronounced dead at the scene. Two women in their 20s and three children who were riding in the van were taken to Einstein Medical Center. Police said none of the five had any gunshot wounds but suffered from cuts and bruises sustained in the crash. The van was traveling northbound in the 5700 block of Broad Street near the intersection of Broad and Grange Ave. Police said that they believe that's where the shots were fired. The driver then lost control, crashing the van at 5800 Old York Road. Police are looking for a dark-colored car with people inside in relation to the shooting. Investigators said they're also looking for surveillance video from the scene and speaking to witnesses to gather information as to exactly what happened. Police said a Bucks County EMT traveled to South Jersey to meet what he believed to be a 14-year-old girl that he solicited for sex on the internet. According to authorities, 46-year-old Charles Amer of Warminster left work still dressed in his uniform and traveled to South Jersey to meet whom he believed a 14-year-old girl to engage in sexual activities. Instead, when he arrived, he was met and arrested by law enforcement officers. Amer had actually been exchanging sexually explicit text messages with an undercover law enforcement officer. Police said during the conversations, he made arrangements to meet the 14-year-old girl at an agreed-upon location in Pensauken and take her to a hotel in Pennsylvania to engage in sexual activities.
God bless the people that do this
right?
And set the traps. But
yeah.
I have to imagine, it's got to be a bizarre world to live in when you're engaging these people.
My neighbor does it.
Does he?
He does, and I've talked to him about it.
Is
he
that the guy we met?
Met him. You've met him a few times.
Your party.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
does he say there's just sometimes like a bad residual?
It doesn't bother him.
He's seen that side of people all the time.
He's been in law enforcement for a long time, and he knows what to expect, and he knows that those people are out there, and he's seen justice be served enough times, but. It's amazingly easy to reel.
That's not what you want to hear, right?
Yeah. It's very, very scary.
Well, this guy is charged with second-degree luring, attempted sexual assault, attempted criminal sexual contact, and attempted endangering the welfare of a child. He was released from the Camden County Correctional Facility with conditions while awaiting upcoming court proceedings. Investigators said the charges were the result of an investigation conducted by the High-Tech Crimes Unit of the Camden County Prosecutor's Office and the Department of Homeland Security Investigations Cherry Hill Division. A standoff in Hatfield, Montgomery County, ended after 5 hours. Police said around 4:30 yesterday, a woman being served a warrant at a home in the 300 block of West Broad Street pointed a gun at law enforcement. The woman and another wanted person inside the house then barricaded themselves inside, police say. Neighboring homes were evacuated, and the Montgomery County SWAT's Central Region team responded to the scene. The two finally came out of the home about 9:30 last night. They were arrested without injuries. Charges are expected to be announced today. Police say the identities of the two suspects will also be released when the charges are filed.
Before you hold yourself up in a house like that, why not try the old, I can't hear you, I can't hear you.
All right, in sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The U.S. women's hockey team won the gold medal.
Yes!
The team needed the first shootout in the Olympic women's final to do it. Jocelyn Lamoureux-Davidson scored a goal in the sixth round of the shootout, and Maddie Rooney stopped the last two Canadians to wrap up a 3-2 win over arch-rival Canada.
I watched a couple of the games with these girls. I love the female hockey.
Aren't they awesome?
They're fantastic. They're great hockey players, and they're just it's fun to watch, you know, if you're a fan of the game.
The Americans piled over the boards, threw their gloves in the air, and hugged on the ice 20 years after the team's last gold medal in women's hockey. And skiing, Michelle Gissen of Switzerland captured the women's Olympic alpine combined with an aggressive slalom run to beat Michaela Schifrin of the U.S. who took silver. Lindsey Vonn, the leader after the downhill portion, made a mistake early in the slalom and didn't finish in what was probably the final race of her Winter Games career. And I watched cross-country skiing, Case. I almost texted you last night. They almost look like they don't know how to ski the way that they're...
Right?
Like I'm watching it. And listen, it was exciting. The announcers were going crazy. The U.S. won that as well. And I'm like, it was very exciting, but they almost look like they don't know how to ski.
They don't know how to ski, yeah.
Yeah,
that,
it's so bizarre looking.
That is pretty I'd like to try it.
I know that you've been glued to the TV. I couldn't care less.
You didn't watch it?
For some reason, this Olympics has just gone right over my head. Yeah.
I'm watching them.
Yeah.
Back home, the Flyers will look to continue their winning ways with a game at home tonight against the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Flyers have only one regulation loss in February, have won three in a row, and have climbed to within 3 points of first place in the Metro Division. Tonight's game starts at 7 o'clock and will be broadcast on WMMR. The Sixers, who have won 5 games in a row and are in 7th place in the Eastern Conference, begin the second half of their season with a game in Chicago tonight against the Bulls. Tip-off is at 8 o'clock, and the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. This morning.
All right, thanks so much, Kath. Let's see what we got lined up for you. A lot of good stuff. We are going to have the big man, the machine, here in the studio. Bert Kreischer will be stopping by. The last time he came by was while we were at the Eagles victory parade, and it was just a last minute. He happened to be in town, and we're like, well, dear God, we got to get the machine. We got to get the man here. And he came down for the party, and we had a great time with him. But now he's in town for appearances. He's got shows tonight and tomorrow at the Trocadero. They're all sold out.
Yes.
He doesn't need to come here to have you, you know, to pitch for people to come out to the show. He's just coming in because he's a friend.
Yeah.
And
which is cool.
Bert's hilarious. God, he is so damn funny.
Is he shooting? Is his special being shot at the tower?
It is. I don't know if it's a Netflix or...
The Trocker.
I do the same thing.
So what they did is, remember last time he was telling us, they had to just modify a little bit to get it exactly
TV ready?
He said
the ready. The stage is too high.
Right, comedy.
So they were going to build a floor up to raise the audience up a little bit.
Yeah, so they'd
be a little bit more at his level. So they were scouting when he was in town for the parade. So Kreischer coming by today. We also have the Plastic Cup Boys coming in, and they'll be appearing at Punchline. It's at Naeem Lynn and Spank Horton, who are the Plastic Cup Boys. Very, very good friends with Kevin Hart. In fact, opened for him at the Link, from what I understand. I was not at that show, so I didn't see him personally.
In person, they were hanging with him at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So they have some stories, I'm sure.
Yep, so we'll talk to those guys in this morning. We have a hottie cam. So she was a little under the weather last time and couldn't stay. But Miss February Emmy is coming in before her month ends. And she's last time Terry, who brought her here, who is her management, said that she had that bikini that she wore in the calendar with her. So hopefully she brings that with her because I am a fan.
You're a fan of that bikini.
And her wearing that bikini.
It was funny because when she showed up last time, she's sick, and you know, she might have had the flu or whatever. She's in the car. No, stay in the car. Stay in the car. Yeah. It's fine. We're good. Yeah.
Last time we saw her was at my birthday. She was part of my my gift.
Yes.
Yeah. And you guys brought in some ladies of the calendar that particular morning. So
wonderful.
Wonderful. So she will be here. And we are going to do a, we have a crazy Flyers ticket giveaway that we're going to do this morning. So is it tickets for Thursday night's game?
Tonight's game.
Tonight is Thursday.
I know, because it's a 3-day week. You're throwing off.
I know, So you have to be able to go tonight, obviously, and the tickets will be at will call. But yeah, it's exciting. And they're playing so well.
They are.
Well, let's figure out when we're going to do that. We might squeak that out early. I don't know. We'll have a little conversation about that when we take a break here. We'll come back in a moment. We'll get into the entertainment stuff. We'll have a stupid question. You know how this thing goes. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I want to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Listen, we're headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 2nd for our 12th annual Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com for details to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Did you screw up on Valentine's Day? Are your gifts going to be in the trash next week? Flowers, chocolates? Blow her away by getting her a gift that will last forever. Steven Singer's famous 24 karat gold dip roses. They have a lifetime guarantee and are still available to save the day. IHateStevenSinger.com.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Hi, Grandmom.
So let us give something away. We have a stupid question I would like to ask of you, and we're going to give away a four-pack of tickets for the Progressive Insurance Atlantic City Boat Show, and that's coming up the 28th to March 4th, Atlantic City Convention Center. The question I have for you this morning, what was the name of claymation character Gumby's pet pony? 215-263-WMMR. I loved that show when I was a kid, and it's a bizarre show, bizarre. To be honest. Yeah.
I loved them all, and I had all of the characters, multiple versions of the characters over the years. Loved them.
So we have Gumby and this other character, Jace's, one of Jace's babysitters, for some reason loved Gumby, and really? She got him into it. We have the disc or the DVD. He watches the shows, and wow. It is so bizarre.
It's trippy.
The quality is terrible.
Yes.
They don't really talk. They just make noise. Like, I never got it. I never liked it as a kid.
Yeah,
but
I loved it.
He's like glued to the TV.
That's
when it's
crazy.
On. He loves it.
The fact that they would, because they were using, you know, like a claymation type of thing. So they would go skating into a wall and dissolve through the wall and come down the other side. It was always very freeform.
All right, let's see if you know the name of the pony with Gumby. 215-263-WMMR. Today's birthdays, Thursday, February 22nd, include Drew Barrymore. And Drew is turning 43 years old today.
We were just talking about that Whiplash movie that she did.
Whip It.
Yes.
And you know what? Not that long ago, and I know you guys have all seen it, that Steven Spielberg special.
Yes.
Where it's about his entire career. When he goes through the sequence of E.T., and sharing his experience, that her as just a little girl.
It's perfect.
Just absolutely adorable. And there's a scene where she legitimately gets scared on set and starts crying. And he's like, and you see him just grab his face like, oh, no, you poor thing, you know. And it's from somebody yelling or something like that. I mean, she was a little child.
And then it was like 3 years after she's on the cover of People magazine going into rehab.
Yeah, yeah. But she's had a great career.
Yeah.
And I think she's a likable person. She's 43 today. Jerry Ryan was 7 of 9 on Star Trek Voyager.
Man, they crammed her into that outfit. That was one of the most skin-tight outfits ever. And Star Trek had some skin-tight outfits.
Yep. She was also in Boston Public and has made an appearance in a bunch of different TV shows and movies. She's 50 years old today. Actor Thomas Jane.
Ah.
The movie The Mist, that was making the rounds not that long ago. A couple weeks ago, I started watching that again.
It is a good movie, but it is unrelentingly dour and down. He also was in the second screen version of The Punisher.
Yes, exactly. And Steve, listed on his credits was Boogie Nights.
Yes.
I don't remember him in Boogie Nights.
He's one of the porn guys. Yeah, one of the porn actors.
One of the stable of actors with
Burt Reynolds? I believe, yeah.
He wasn't part of the new, you remember that the crew that comes in to start to use a videotape and he was
totally against it? You know, he may have been one of those.
But he would have been pretty young at the time.
Do you have a mustache? Yeah.
I believe he had a mustache.
Oh!
Yeah.
I didn't know that was him. We're looking at pictures of him. Okay, well, now I got it. All right, he's a great actor. He was also awesome in 61 as Mickey Mantle. He's 49 today. Kyle MacLachlan has been in some trippy stuff, man. Blue Velvet, Twin Peaks, The Doors.
Dune?
Dune.
It was the first time I ever saw him. I think that movie is underappreciated. It's very stylized, but it's solid.
Oh, and he was the voice of the father in Inside Out.
Yeah.
My favorite, it's a tie between that and The Incredibles as far as my favorite Pixar movie goes. But he's 59 today. And Dr. J's birthday.
Oh! University of Mass Chosen number 6, Julius Irving!
Dr. J, Julius Irving, is celebrating his 68th birthday today. He is one of the Philadelphia mega celebs that has eluded me. I've never met him.
Never met him.
I've just never had an occasion. There's been things like where, you know, he was going to be there and it ended up not happening, or I was going to be there and I didn't end up going or whatever, but I would love to meet Dr. J in person.
We've been close a couple of times. We'll make it happen.
Yeah.
I met him once, and he was couldn't have been nicer. Mm-hmm. Has giant hands, shook my hand, like in, half of my arm was in his hand when he, you know, said hi.
Yeah.
But he seemed nice.
Here's a guy who was a successful neurosurgeon and decided to get into basketball. You know what? There have been a lot of flashy slam dunks over the years, but he still has number one
in
my mind. And you guys all
know the Lakers, Michael Cooper.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
So he's celebrating his 68th birthday today. Dr. J, happy birthday to you, sir. Let's see if we can get an answer to this question. What was the name of the claymation character Gumby's pet pony? 215-263-WMMR. Pretty easy question this morning. And I will go to Dave and see if we can get the answer from him. Hey, Dave, how you doing, man?
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. So do me a favor and tell
Dave!
Me. Tell me the name of Gumby's pet pony.
I think it was Pokey.
It's Pokey.
What I loved about Pokey is Pokey was always very critical of Gumby.
Yeah.
I guess this is something you want to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Dave, you're right. Hang on the line. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give to you a four-pack of tickets for the Progressive Insurance Atlantic City Boat Show, and that's coming up February 28th through March 4th at the Atlantic City Convention Center, and you can see and board 500 boats, browse over 250 booths of marine accessories, engines, electronics, and more. Tickets and details available at acboatshow.com. Well, let's just get right into old Harvey real quickly here. He is suing Gwyneth Paltrow, Jennifer Lawrence, and Meryl Streep in his defense. This is Harvey Weinstein.
That'll show him.
Yeah, right? The movie mogul wants one of the class action lawsuits against him dismissed outright, claiming the actresses support him and pointing out that Paltrow worked with him after his alleged advances, even earning an Academy Award because of him.
Which did happen.
On Wednesday, Weinstein responded to the lawsuit filed against him and the Weinstein Company, claiming that Gwyneth Paltrow was allegedly harassed during the filming of Emma in 1994, yet Paltrow went on to star in another Weinstein production, Shakespeare in Love, and even won an Oscar for her role in that.
What a slobbering, sweaty, disgusting creature he is.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of him yesterday. I guess he's still in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he goes out to the restaurants. He just looks like a... He makes Jabba the Hutt look like George Clooney.
But, he's using this as an example. Well, look, she continued to work with
that
me.
That means nothing.
How bad could that have, I have been?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, he was the most powerful producer in the business. If you want to further your career and solidify your career, you take the job opportunities that are going to give you the best option. And as you've said before, Steve, it's not like he was on set every single day and he's calling the shots. He pretty much backs it. Now he can come in and swing his weight around and have plenty to do that.
Bring his robe over to the set.
Oh, dear God. Oh. He says Paltrow was not offended that she refused to work with Weinstein again, nor did her career suffer as a result of her rebuffing his alleged advances. He also claimed that Jennifer Lawrence, I guess?
Yeah.
Told Oprah Winfrey that Weinstein had only ever been nice to me, and that even post-allegations, Streep publicly stated that Weinstein had always been respectful to her in their working relationship. So he's using those as examples. Weinstein also makes the argument that the statute of limitations has expired in many cases, and that several of the alleged incidents, even being asked to watch someone pleasure themselves, are not sex acts. The court documents actually goes on to define sexual contact as the male member coming into various contact with various parts, and it goes into deep detail.
Well, he's done his research then. Apparently it's legal to pleasure yourself in your robe in a hotel room in front of a starlet.
Yeah, it's considered not a sex act.
Yeah.
But if you have contact to the anus, mouth, or vulva with another piece of anatomy, this is literally
stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
That's from Highlights Magazine.
Yeah. So Meryl Streep spoke out after Weinstein's team used one of her past statements in order to suggest that he was not abusive. She had said Harvey Weinstein's attorney's use of my true statement that he was not sexually transgressive or physically abusive in our business relationship as evidence that he was not abusive with many other women is pathetic and exploitive, she said in a statement to Deadline. So,
yeah, so these things that he's alleging, they may be true.
Yeah.
That doesn't excuse the other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, exactly. It's the old, Hitler had a dog.
Yeah, exactly. All right, moving on. I'm going to go heavy, light, heavy, light, heavy,
You're going to Weinstein slalom today?
Yeah, I'm going to do that. Ryan Reynolds is taking a cue from George Clooney and shaking up the cocktail industry. The Deadpool star has snapped up an ownership stake in Davos Brands Aviation Gin after being won over by its taste.
I'll tell you this, and somebody broke it down. It was maybe the Hollywood Reporter. The amount of money he simply made George Clooney by dabbling in the side venture of the booze far eclipses everything he's ever earned from acting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Crazy. By
tequila, too, right?
By multiples, yes. Yeah,
it's tequila. Or it's Mezcal.
No, I think it's tequila.
Tequila.
Yeah,
okay.
But
if you can get in, just because you dabble in alcohol doesn't mean you're going to make it's got to be the right
one. You have a winner. Look
it's got to be legitimate.
Francis Ford Coppola.
The
Coppola wine
sure.
is far more lucrative than anything he ever did in the movie industry.
Mm-hmm. I just had an O moment with the Coppola wine.
Yeah.
The director's cut. Oh, and then there's another wine that's the final cut. Oh,
a director
makes movies.
That's why we love you, Kathy.
What an idiot. Yeah.
No, you're not.
Wilson.
Oh.
No. Name of the volleyball.
He's the godfather of wine, of course.
So Reynolds said in a statement, aviation is the best tasting gin in the world. Once I tried it, I knew I wanted to get involved with the company in a big way. Reynolds, who makes a sultry appearance in aviation's most recent ad campaign, will also reportedly play an active role in the business and creative direction of aviation. So he's really jumping in there. He's not just a backer, and he's not going to be just the face of it.
I hate to tell you this, but any appearance we make is a sultry appearance. Mm. I think everyone will agree.
On Twitter, Reynolds joked, in the long and in no way disastrous marriage of showbiz and alcohol, so happy to announce I'm the proud owner of a gin company. Clooney sold his tequila company last year, by the way, for a jaw-dropping $1 billion. Wow. So perhaps there might be an interest in more booze and Hollywood ventures.
And you remember what Clooney did, right? He gave $1 million to like his 7 or 8 closest friends.
Yeah. That's it? I think he made $1 billion and he...
Well, I think he had about 15 friends over and they sat down and he had a bag full of cash and he made everybody take it. He made them take it like people were refusing to.
In fact, one of the codicils to the agreement was that if anyone denied it, no one would get it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. And there were guys that are friends of his that are not millionaires and just buddies from back in the day, and he wanted to make sure that they got their money. That's pretty cool freaking friend, man. Natalie Portman is haunted by a petition that she signed in 2009 that supported Roman Polanski's release.
Yeah.
The Oscar-winning director was arrested and detained in Switzerland in 2009, 3 decades after pleading guilty to the rape of 13-year-old Samantha Geimer.
This is a slalom back to serious, right?
Yeah, we're going back to serious. On the eve of his sentencing, he fled to France while he was in custody in Zurich. Public figures rallied to his cause. Portman joined Woody Allen, Tilda Swinton, and Martin Scorsese in the call for his release. Portman, when she was asked about the decision to sign the petition, now said, I very much regret it. I take responsibility for not thinking about it enough. Someone I respected gave it to me and said, I signed this. Will you too? And I was like, sure. She said, time's up has taught her a lesson. She said it was a mistake. The thing I feel like I gained from it is empathy towards people who have made mistakes. We live in a different world, and that doesn't excuse anything. But if you can have your eyes opened and completely changed the way you want to live.
We had the screening of Annihilation, which is our new movie. That was Monday night?
It was last night.
Yes.
Last night.
And it opens tomorrow, by the way, officially.
So. Oh, I have to check Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it did. You know what? Okay, so
all right, do it.
I had not quite an O moment, but I was watching TMZ. Okay, all and right. It has to do with this next story. Farrah Abraham,
yes, the backdoor mom.
So the way that the on TMZ on the left hand column they have all the subjects that they're going to go through.
Yes,
and one of them said Farrah Abraham, MTV slut shamed. You know, and so, but I saw it as Farrah Abraham, MTV slut, comma, shamed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, that's pretty bold of them calling her an MTV slut.
It's so funny because I had the same thing, and I was telling Casey about this.
MTV slut?
There's an ad for stuff that helps your eyes generate tears. And on one of the woman's closed eyes, words are written on each lid.
Okay.
And so what it says is fed up.
Okay.
And I read it as effed up.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Sure.
F comma ED.
What does that mean? Yeah, like, what? Yeah, effed up.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, that's funny. Or E. Yeah. I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, I wouldn't... I mean, TMZ, I wouldn't... They might write, like, MTV slut. It's shame.
They might write that.
Right?
I was like, that's pretty bold.
They're calling her a slut.
Oh, slut shame.
Oh.
I got it. Okay, so she is suing Viacom for $5 million, claiming that she was fired from MTV, from the MTV juggernaut Teen Moms for working in porn. According to court documents obtained by The Blast, 26-year-old claims Viacom wrongfully terminated her employment because she did not conform to gender stereotypes. Viacom tells people that her claims are without merit, but she's going to try and get $5 million out of them if she can. We'll see. Despite their 2016 separation, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are still committed to their $80 million Marivelle Chateau in France.
Oh, they both enjoy that $80 million chateau, do they?
I guess so.
So they both have ownership of it, right? Yeah, they haven't sold it, clearly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh.
And they still are making wine out of there. Their latest bottling, their fifth annual release, is set to land this week. Winemaker.
It's called Too Many Kids Wine.
Mark Perrin tells People the Marivelle 2017 is very certainly our best vintage since we began in 2012. So there's another alcohol venture right there.
I made coffee last night.
So did I.
Yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker is debuting a new line of clothing for Gap Kids on March 1st. It's the new full line. She tells The Hollywood Reporter... that she designed the line with sustainability in mind. She said,
like, hey,
the designs were really dictated by my past. My mother saved all of our clothes, Parker tells THR of the collaboration, which is priced from $16.95 to $78. She said, we made fun of our mother, but we were so grateful to have access to those. So much of what we wore was simple and beautiful dresses.
This is a wonderful clothing line. Wonderful clothing line.
Put a carrot in your mouth.
Has she done this before?
Yes, she has. Oh. She's a good friends, like besties, with Anna Wintour.
Oh, that's right.
Who is the subject of The Devil Wears Prada.
I sent you guys a meme a couple of weeks ago. Did you guys enjoy that one where Sarah Jessica Parker turned 62?
Yeah.
It was a picture of Twisted Sister. What's that guy?
Oh, yeah, Steve Snyder. Snyder.
Yeah,
oh, that's right.
It was like, oh, my God, they do look alike.
Looks chillingly alike. Though you got to remember, Sarah Jessica Parker, she came out, she was in that show Square Peg, she was in Footloose, and then she became hot. She was the babe for a while.
Yeah.
And now she works at Aqueduct.
You know what she looked great in? Did you ever see the movie L.A. Story?
She's the sex bomb. The side action he gets involved with Steve Martin.
Young,
she's
never cutie, really great bod.
She's never. I'm sorry, Press. She's never really done it for me.
Okay. No, yeah. I had a thing for her for a little while. All right. So Jeopardy host Alex Trebek is set to moderate a debate this year among Pennsylvania's 2018 gubernatorial candidates.
Man, it'd be so cool if it's probably going to happen out in Pittsburgh or
Harrisburg.
Harrisburg, I should say. But if it was anywhere near here, it'd be great to get him on the show.
Yeah. If we can't, I would at least like to talk to him on the phone leading up to this. Might be a good opportunity to grab him. But he's going to moderate a 45-minute debate in October as part of the Pennsylvania Chamber of Business and Industry's annual dinner.
I think he'd be excellent. He is politically savvy.
The chamber said incumbent government Governor Tom Wolf has been invited to participate in the event along with the winner of the Republican primary. Trebek is also going to be the keynote speaker at the dinner that night.
When Governor Wolf comes out, should they play Hungry Like the Wolf by Duran Duran? Shouldn't that be his theme?
Yeah. You kidding me? That's I can't think of anything more perfect than that. In the past, Trebek said that...
Ladies and gentlemen, of the governor of the state of Pennsylvania, a Governor Tom Wolf.
Yes, and it has to be said like that. It's like a wrestler. I mean,
I am hungry.
I mean, how can you not get in a good mood when you hear this song?
I'm hungry for legislation. Woo!
I think he just started a new campaign, theme song. And
enough of this. Here I am with the family down at the local watering hole talking to people about how their lives need improvement. I'm hungry like a wolf.
Ladies and gentlemen, the governor of the state of Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf.
And the crowd goes wild.
He could have his wolf dance.
There you go.
It comes out. All right. No, wait.
Oh, wolf dance.
All right.
I sure don't look like your grandma.
Is that the song from
the
movie?
Oh, that's the song. Yep.
Oh, my God. Typical, horrible, made-for-a-dance sequence movie song from the 1980s. But the crowd loves it.
It's still going crazy.
They are. All right. So anyhow, in the past, Trebek has said that he would love to moderate a presidential debate.
Mm.
He said, unlike some of the other moderators.
Yeah, we have the song.
We are going down a hole here.
This is from Team Wolf. You know the words?
Yeah, that's it. That's just that part.
What's worse, the dance from this or the dance from Can't Buy Me Love, where he accidentally watches the African Education this hour and tries to do the dance out of the...
Yeah, this one.
Or the alien boxing match at the end of Meatballs 2.
That's probably the worst.
But that's not a dance.
So when is Trebek hosting this, do they say?
Yeah, October 1st.
That's right. We're talking about now.
You know who he's dating now?
No.
Norma Stitt. Did you see it on TMZ yesterday, Preston?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was right under Fair Abraham MTV slut.
This is my lovely date for the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Norma is her name. Last name of Stitz.
Norma Stitz. But in the past, Trebek said he would love to moderate a presidential debate. He said, unlike some of the other moderators, I'm not going to disparage them, but I have a different approach, he said. This was in a 2013 interview. He said, I would not let the politicians get away with standard responses. I would try to pin them down, even though I might look bad doing it. So he is itching to eventually do a presidential debate. I don't know if that would ever happen. As Terry Crews pursues a lawsuit against WME executive Adam Vennett, whom he accused of sexually assaulting him, he has to pay the agency still. He said, this is the deal. What's so strange and crazy is that I'm still paying them. I go to work and I still have to send a check to my molester. He told reporters during Esquire's 2018 Mavericks of Hollywood party on Tuesday night. He said, this is Hollywood. This is insane.
Well, it's also legal. Nothing has been proven yet. So he's innocent until proven guilty. Mm-hmm. And so, by law, he has to honor his contractual obligation.
He said, I look at my bank statement and I'm like, damn, this is the most wrong thing of all time. I'm calling it. I'm going to play this whole thing out. If I don't get justice, nobody can, he said. Let's see. How about this? Eva Longoria graced the red carpet for the 20th Costume Designers Guild Awards in Beverly Hills on Tuesday.
I know you love her, but Kathy, even as much as you love like fashion or whatever, all that stuff, they're always out at events like this. Could you live that way where you were constantly going out to these events? Like it was part of your job to go out and be seen. It'd be incredibly annoying.
Yeah, but that's part of your job.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we're beautiful people as well, but we've opted for radio.
Longoria's friend Kerry Washington was honored for the Spotlight Award, but beforehand she dished out the challenges of dressing while pregnant, because Eva is definitely, she's got one on the way.
And she looked so cute.
Did she?
Yeah, she looked really good.
She said, let me tell you, it's nerve-wracking enough deciding what to wear to these things, and then when you're pregnant, she said, my Spanx don't fit anymore. But there's pregnancy Spanx, I've discovered. So she's really excited that they have pregnancy Spanx. Remind me again, Spanx, what the hell are those?
They're like, they suck you in. Like, it's a real tight...
Control top.
Yeah, like a control top, but like super controlled.
Okay.
Not like the old school stockings that had the control top. Like, this really flattens everything out.
That doesn't sound good for a pregnant person.
Yeah, you got to crush that baby in there. Yeah.
But they make it for pregnant women, so I'm sure it has some sort of like, it's a little more stretchier, a larger pouch that'll go over. It kind of, you know what it does too, Preston? It it doesn't just suck you in, it smooths everything out. So if you notice the dress that she's wearing, it looks like it's a silk dress, and there's like, you see no bumps or you know, any imperfections. So everything is just kind of smoothed out. That's what it did for her.
Have to get me some Spanx then. The Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences announced the next group of presenters for the 90th Oscars telecast, and they got some good ones on board. Gal Gadot.
Oh!
That'll be the only reason I tune in, probably.
She's awesome.
Mark Hamill, Armie Hammer, Oscar Isaac, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Gina Rodriguez, Eva Marie Saint, Wes Studi, Kelly Marie Tran, and Zendaya have been added to the already announced crew, who includes Chadwick Boseman.
He's so good as Black Panther.
That voice. I tell you, it's awesome.
Because that's completely an affectation. Yeah. He is nowhere near that. His normal speaking voice is, you know, complete American, the absolute other end of the universe from that, but he pulls it off so well.
Viola Davis, Laura Dern, Jennifer Garner, Greta Gerwig, Tiffany Haddish, Tom Holland, a whole bunch of people. And the Oscars are headed our way March 4th on ABC, and Jimmy Kimmel, of course, is the host for that.
So two things with this award show. It's the first award show after the La La Land debacle, which Jimmy Kimmel hosted, and also it's the first award show of the first Oscars to live in the post-Weinstein.
Yeah.
And a number of these movies are still associated with the Weinstein Company.
Yep. This is this is kind of a grace period that we have to go through. Christopher Nolan recently declared himself out of the running to direct Bond 25.
Damn.
The latest name getting floated as a strong contender, though for this, is Oscar-winning director Danny Boyle.
I could see that.
Yeah, Variety reports that MGM is in serious talks to hire the filmmaker to take over from Sam Mendes. However, there is no deal in place as of yet, but that's just a name that's being thrown around.
Did you see the last, did you see Spectre?
No, I didn't. I'm not caught up in Bond anymore. I shall eventually go back and watch those. Disney's forthcoming streaming service will likely feature several remakes and reboots, according to reports, and the programming for the as-yet-unnamed service is being headed up by Agnes Chu, who is lining up family-friendly shows like a live-action Star Wars and a reboot of The Muppets.
Huh.
Yeah, so according to The Hollywood Reporter, High School Musical and a series based on Pixar's Monsters Incorporated and The Mighty Ducks may also get the reboot
track. So they've got the Star Wars empire. They've got Marvel. They've got Pixar.
Mm-hmm. They've got 20th Century Fox.
20th Century Fox. As far as streaming services go, they're going to have a lot of what you're going to want to see. Which sucks because you're going to have to pay for that service.
You're going to have to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what's funny is here's Disney like acquiring all this stuff, right? And you would figure their stocks, you got to invest in Disney. Well, ESPN is such a dog for them that their stocks don't do anything.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. It's funny. It weights it down on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then one last story, Netflix has slotted its remake of Lost in Space for an April 13th launch, and it also shared a first look at the show. The original 1965 cult TV show was created by sci-fi master Irwin Allen in 1965.
I loved that show. Were you a fan of the original Lost in Space?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Interestingly, the film has already been seen in space. Netflix gave NASA access to the pilot episode 12 days ago.
Really?
And they transmitted it to the International Space Station for the astronauts to view. So they got to see it before anybody else did, which is pretty
damn cool.
Mm-hmm. Lucky astronauts.
Yeah. Lost in Space, which...
they get to have their turds float.
Follows the story of the Robinson family is set 30 years in the future when space has been colonized. That's not too far off.
No.
Wow. Okay.
I get weirded out thinking about how they eat and drink sometimes in space because, like, I mean, so the esophagus just naturally just pushes everything down?
Yes, mine does not because I have that achalasia.
So you can't go to space.
I can't go to space.
Or you would have to drink everything upside down.
And just the multitude of other reasons I can't go to space.
Yeah. Right.
Because I'm stupid.
Yes, the muscles in your esophagus actually force the food down there.
Example, if you were to stand on your head and swallow, it would still work.
Yep.
It would not be the same case.
Hmm.
Really?
Yes. Nope. That's why I stopped doing keg stands. That's why I stopped doing keg stands. Yeah.
You can't do keg stands.
I can still
anymore?
Do whippets, though.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Yeah, you don't
relax my sphincter for it. Well, you know what.
Well, I mean, what really was the point of the keg stand?
Well, when we were in school, you would get spanked, right? So as you were drinking, people would spank you, and then you would keep count that way.
So many drinking games and drinking activities were to force you to drink faster, like a funnel, or shotgunning a beer. But the keg stand slowed the process of drinking down.
In the early days of the country, that's how a vice president was selected.
Oh, keg stands? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I was good at keg stands.
Yeah, me too.
Really?
Were you? Yeah.
Did you do them in dresses?
No.
Yes, you did.
No.
Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. It probably happens.
You think you could still do one?
I don't know.
You're in good shape.
It's literally
been
20-plus years.
You could do it. At the next live event that we do. Yeah. And I'm not saying get rip-roaring drunk or anything, but just try it.
Look,
here's an old grandmother.
Yeah, we're looking at
you're helped by everyone, right?
Video right now. Yep. Oh, Kathy, yes. Keenan's
will help you.
We'll be here before you know it.
Oh, I've got pictures.
We need to see it live on stage in front of hundreds of people.
Yes.
I think that would be
awesome.
In a dress.
Well, okay, let's not push it.
We'll go crazy here. But all right, let's do the clips here. Okay.
Say that again.
Let's do the clips. Based on the many experiences Heather Graham had from dating and harassment that she faced in Hollywood, Half Magic explores themes of female empowerment through sex work and friendship. Here, Heather Graham reveals her motivations in directing her first film.
Ooh. I wanted to take some of my past bad breakup stories and laugh at them and find humor in pain, basically. And so I took some things based loosely on some personal stuff and also my friends, stories of different situations my friends have been in. And I wrote them into the script to basically make myself laugh when I was feeling sad.
Well, I hope it's halfway decent because I like Heather Graham a lot.
And, so do I.
And really haven't seen her in too much as of lately. So,
a word of advice, though, walk over to the microphone.
Yes. Yeah. Half Magic opens in theaters on Friday. Let's do the next clip. In Game Night, a group of friends have a weekly date to meet up for a friendly competition until one night, Kyle Chandler's character, Brooks, plans a murder mystery night that turns real. During her sit-down with the cast, Marissa asked the co-star if there was one person he could play a game with, who would it be and which game?
My wife, backgammon. Oh, I love playing backgammon. I like it when I win. No, it's not a happy, joyful thing. It's a competition.
No, I like that because my dad and I are backgammon.
Oh,
and it's very competitive.
Oh, right?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
The other night, I won. It took her a half hour to say congratulations.
Shoot.
I'm not kidding. I mean, I could use words to call her. Oh, my gosh. I don't win that often either, so I was egging her and all that stuff.
I want to see you naked.
Kyle Chandler, is he the guy on the left here, Nick, that we're looking at?
No, right.
The guy on the right.
I love him.
Who is he? What do I know him?
He's in Friday Night Lights, and he's in the show that Kathy and I are obsessed with called Bloodline.
Don't know who he is.
Bloodline?
Yeah.
No, I don't
know.
Know
he's British. Or
he's not British.
What's that accent?
That was Southern.
Southern. Texas or something.
Yes, he was British, and he was. I think he was from Northern England.
My wife, backgammon. Oh, we love. Backgammon. I love playing backgammon.
All right,
I like it when I win.
Australian.
No, it's not a happy, joyful thing. It's a competition.
No, I like that because
it's competition.
When did you move to the States?
Yeah.
That's a nice accent you have there. New Jersey.
No, the first part
up in Buffalo.
The very first part of it, I could hear
that's
maybe
not even Southern.
The very first part of it, I can hear. I would maybe think Australian because Australian is like a Southern English accent.
My wife backgammon.
My wife.
She really likes backgammon.
Yeah,
it's what I like. I'm from Georgia.
You don't play backgammon down in the south.
Yeah, no, we play Stratego. You got to hide your dingo. And then behind one of the pieces.
Is that the flag? You hide the dingo?
No, you hide a bomb.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, you can watch the full interviews now at PrestonandSteve.com and go see Game Night opening tomorrow, by the way.
So the guy on the left in that video is that dude Jesse Plemons that we've talked about recently.
Yes.
He was on, he kind of looks like Matt Damon, and he was in Breaking Bad, and his nickname is Meth Damon.
Meth Damon. What, he's married to a famous gal.
He's dating.
Was he dating?
Kirsten Dunst,
Kirsten Dunst.
That's who it was.
Yep.
Meth Damon.
All right, there you go. That's what I have
for
you in the entertainment report this morning. We have a whole lot of things going on. Kreischer's going to be here. All right, he's in town to film his special at the Trocadero. It's sold out. But he's just coming by for a visit because we love him and he loves us, and it's a big mutual love fest.
A lot of love. Yeah. And we can also find out how the rest of the day went after he left us during the parade, the Eagles parade.
Yeah. We also have Nam Lin and Spank Horton, the Plastica Boys. They're going to be appearing at Punchline.
My original name was Spank.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, how embarrassing. but... they've got a show tonight, too, on Friday and Saturday, and they're good buds with Kevin Hart and opened for him at the Link, and they were with him at the Super Bowl, so we have some questions about that as well. A few other things going on. We're scheduled to have a Hottie Cam Miss February Emmy, one of our favorites in the Totally Office calendar, scheduled to be here this morning. And in a little while, I think we're going to give away some Flyers tickets, but right now, I'm going to give away a pair of tickets to see Anthony Jeselnik, show number 2 at the Fillmore, on Saturday, June 3rd. It's a ways off, but we'll get you taken care of. You can make plans way in advance and be good to go and have a great night out. It's a 10:30 p.m. show. The first show is sold out. Tickets for show number 2 go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. via Ticketmaster.com. Can I give away a couple of these, Case?
Yeah, a couple.
All right, let's do callers 10 and 11, 215-263-WMMR, and I will give those to you, so call right now. Let's take a quick break, come back in a second. And like I said, we got Flyer tickets. They're playing tonight. And we got a bunch of those to give away. We'll do that when we return as well as some other stuff. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have fired up the studio cams this morning because we have a very special guest who will be appearing for the visual side of our entertainment today. The month is February. It's getting close to the end of it, but we had to get her in here for her own morning on the Hottie Cam. The lovely Emmy, Miss February, from our Totally Office calendar, 2018 is now being represented on the Hottie Cam. So you can tune in and she can write some notes and so forth. And you can text in over here and we'll pass the messages along. And
she can put her Instagram information up or whatever she wants to post.
And you will want to follow. Trust me on that. And if you don't have a calendar yet, you'll have to see if you can seek us out. Because there are scant few left at this point.
Yeah, they moved quickly. You can still buy them.
Yeah, okay. The link is on PrestonSteve.com, WMMR.com. You can go to the Rock Shop and they are still available for purchase there.
And Emmy alone is worth picking up the calendar. Yeah. There are 12 of them in there. It's a great calendar this year.
I'm being told Cardboard Classic's going to have them too.
Oh, okay.
That's even more exciting.
We will have to see how that works out. You know what? We'd like to play a game. I'm just going to keep it that simple. Yeah. Well, there is to it.
Yeah, we don't get to play games usually this early in the morning, and the people who listen this early tend to lose out, so we want to right that wrong.
And we have an official intro for the game.
It's time once again to play Yes or No. Yes or No. Two answers as old as time itself. A game primal and raw. Simple and to the chase. Two options. Two answers. Big prizes. Or sometimes smaller, less impressive prizes. But always prizes of some sort. And now, for the game that is the perfect out when we really can't think of anything else to do. Yes or No. And now, here's your host, Preston Elliott.
Why, thank you very much, Max. Max, our studio announcer.
Yes.
And
that sounds very official, right?
He sounds fantastic. Yeah. So we haven't played this game in a while. We have been given an ample amount of tickets to tonight's Flyers game, and gang, the Flyers have been playing fantastic hockey. When we were off for a few days, I texted Casey and Nick because they were playing the Rangers in New York, and I came in at the tail end of the first period, and I saw the final goal of the first period, and in that period, there were 6 goals and 3 fights in the first period of the game.
That's hockey.
And it went on to be an overtime victory for the Flyers. That game went into overtime. It was crazy.
No. They won 7-4.
They won 7-4?
Yeah.
And what the hell game was I watching where it was overtime?
OT games lately. They won last night.
You were watching Real Housewives of Atlanta, Preston.
Oh, damn it. Okay, yeah, you're right.
No, they got 7 goals against Henrik Lundqvist at Madison Square Garden. And, they have won regulation loss in all of February.
One regulation loss in all of February.
Yeah. Do you believe there's a truth to the afterglow of the Super Bowl victory inciting these teams to rise to higher levels.
I don't know. Maybe seeing the excitement of the city, the way it got so pumped about the Eagles, maybe that motivates you even further to say, hey, how about a party for us, too?
Whatever it is, we're down with it.
It's working. So anyhow, they are playing tonight. They're playing the Hurricanes. I'm sorry. No. They're playing the Blue Jackets. On Thursday, March 1st, they're going to be playing the Hurricanes.
Okay.
So they're playing the Blue Jackets tonight, and we do have tickets to give away. Now, here's what you have to do as a skilled competition participant this morning, and that is you have to determine whether the answer is yes or no. The real issue is there's no question.
Yeah.
You just have to know yes or no. Each one of us gets to play along with you. So what we'll do is I will write down, and each one of us will do this one at a time, either yes or no. And you take a guess. Is it yes or is it no? If you're correct, you win. If you're incorrect, you lose. And we move on to the next contestant.
While it seems like a dumb, simple contest, it's actually a game of strategy going back to ancient Egypt.
Yeah, so we are we're actually discovering the history of man while playing this game at the same time. So 215-263-WMMR. By the way, tickets for all upcoming games start as low as $39. So you guys ready to play yes or no?
Yes. I'm nervous, but yes.
Okay. All right. So we'll go to the phone line. Who wants to begin? Anybody else?
I'll go.
All right. Steve will go first.
Ooh,
and
are you sure?
We will get the
why first. Why not get it out of the way?
Now, does everybody have paper in front of them?
Yes.
They can write on. Excellent. Okay. So we are going to go to our first caller. And I have Lauren who's on the line. Lauren, how are you?
Gadzooks.
Lauren, so you're on with Steve. This is your moment to shine.
Okay.
Yes or no?
Yes.
The answer is yes!
Yes! You got it right!
Well played!
Wow. And with that, Lauren, we have tickets for you tonight to see the Flyers take on the Columbus Blue Jackets.
That's awesome.
Congratulations. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. You are a smart girl.
She played it like a champ. She did exactly all the right things.
Right.
And that's actually sort of a lesson to those who are going to follow.
I mean, she could have easily said no.
Yeah, which would have been a critical error.
And it would have been incorrect.
Yep. Yeah, or the newbie mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Not even an option.
Not even an option.
It happens. Keep that in mind, the rules of the game.
Steve, I was checking the text board. Some people also guessed yes.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Like it. That's good.
People are thinking ahead.
All right. Sometimes people say to me, you still doing that radio thing?
Yeah.
I think games like this are the reason they say that.
The thing?
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
We had a super professional sounding intro.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Preston is our own Bob Barker.
Right.
We have music and little pieces of paper with words written on them.
Yeah. We just gave away Flyers tickets.
Yeah, and we're a top flight operation.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, Kathy, you get to go next since you brought
Flip
that
it off.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, we have listener Jay who's on the line. Hi, Jay. Good morning, sir.
Snarf.
I love you.
Very heartily, he said snarf. All right, Jay, you're on with Kathy Romano. I will let you two play the game.
Okay, Jay, are you ready?
I am.
All right, help me do this radio thing. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, the answer? It's yes.
Yes! Oh!
Two for two!
Wow.
Oh, my God. To be honest, I saw what Jay did.
Yep.
He played Canadian style.
He did. Yeah. He did, which is important to remember. We're talking about hockey here. Now, these are two American teams playing, but we are talking about a Canadian sport. Jay, you got tickets to the game tonight. Congratulations, pal.
I did it!
He did it! Hang on just a second.
It's the thrill of competition.
All right, let's go to Nick as our participant next. I'm going to get Adam on the line. Hey, Adam, how are you?
What's going on, guys? You guys rock.
Thank you. Adam, have you been playing along at home?
I have.
And how have you done so far?
2 for 2.
2 for 2.
All right, let's make it 3 for 3, Adam. Are you ready?
All right, Nick. Come on, I got faith in you, bud.
All right, listen to the sound of my voice. Ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Yes or no?
All right. I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to go no.
All right, hold on a moment. Adam, is that your final answer?
Nick, that is.
Adam, the correct answer is no.
Yeah!
We have the smartest listeners in the world.
Are the screeners sure they're not taking professionals?
It's Connor. Connor's our screener, man.
Because the level of play is Olympic.
Adam, we got tickets for tonight's Flyers game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Congratulations.
Yes, Rock. Yes,
I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy. By the way, I think they beat the Blue Jackets for the first time in X amount of years
in Columbus.
Yeah. So they said
anticipation of this game is what got them through.
It may have.
Wow. 3 for 3, guys.
All right. So I want to go next. And by the way, we have witnesses in the studio.
Yes. Yeah.
You've seen legitimately that we are writing down these words. And that there is no favoritism being played here.
No.
I'm going to go to Dennis next. And, Casey, you want to play with Dennis? Or did I say I do?
You're going next.
I don't remember what I say. Dennis.
I'm not listening.
Guys, how are you today?
Good.
Doing well.
Dennis, are you ready to play?
I'm ready to rock, brother.
All right.
I'm writing down a word right now. Dennis, I've written down a word. And you have to use your superior intellect to tell me yes or no.
Let's go with yes.
Is that your final answer? Is that the answer you want to lock in?
Because you can change your answer.
If I can change my answer, I will change my answer.
All right, you're going to exercise the option.
I'm optioning no.
You're going to now go, is that your final answer? No.
That is my final answer. Lock it in.
He locked it in.
He locked it in.
Locked it in.
And he locked it in right there.
Yeah! Wow. I can't believe that he went ahead and changed it.
Wow. That's a bold move, man.
That is bold.
The only indication
he had was Kathy's trembling question as to whether or not he wanted to stick with that answer.
Wait a second. Are you sure that's the answer you want? That's not the answer of someone who wants to go see a hockey game.
Hang on a second, Dennis. We're going to give you tickets.
Brother.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it. Okay. Let's see. Next. Casey's going to give this a shot, so I'm going to go to...
Can we get Tiger out of the room, please?
I'm going to go to Dave. What, is it the Brady Bunch?
Yeah.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Good. We are playing a very important game. It's called Yes or No. Casey is writing down... Well, actually, Casey has...
I have two sheets, and I'm going...
Rather than write it down each time, you're just going to choose between your sheets?
I'm going random here. My eyes are closed.
Casey, do you think that your hair is going to affect the answer?
I can honestly say no.
Okay. All right.
I can say no to that.
Choose one, please. All right. He's got it. He's holding it.
It's locked in.
It's locked in now. Casey, when I ask him?
Dave, is it yes or is it no?
Being he's a Delco guy, I'm going to say no.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Oh, we got our first loser.
Oh, man.
That is incorrect.
You're not a Delco guy.
Delco.
Yes. What are you, Dave? Are you a Delco guy?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you disappointed us all, man.
All right. Sorry, Dave. We got to let you go. It's too bad.
We've been doing very well, though. Don't let this bring us down.
I ruined it for everybody.
We're moving on to Rob now. And Rob, you are on the air. How you doing, Rob?
Good. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right. So we're playing Yes or No. Steve has got an answer written down.
Rob, two viable answers. How are you going to play the game? That's the question. Have you been paying attention? Have you seen the way and heard the way the others have played? That'll inform your decision. All right. So for you, sir, I pose the same question. Yes or no?
I'm going to go with yes.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You're right!
Yeah! Rob, you got it. Hang on a second. We're going to set you up with tickets to tonight's Flyers game. By the way, is this more stupid than Deal or No Deal?
Yeah. No, it is no more. Deal or No Deal was one of the absolute dumbest.
But I liked it for some bizarre reason.
I'll tell
reason.
You why. 100 show suitcase models.
Yeah, the girls were gorgeous on there.
Fact, you know who's...
Meghan Markle.
Meghan
Markle, the princess.
Yes.
To be.
She was...
To be.
She was a...
Yeah.
She's your...
I did not know that. Okay, so not dumber than Deal or No Deal, but pretty close. All right, we'll go next to Matthew as we're playing Yes or No. Hey, Matthew, how are you, bud?
Biblically Jesus.
What's that? Biblically Jesus?
That was you yesterday trying to say.
Oh, biblically. That was right. You were trying to say biblically and couldn't quite get it. It was the day of mispronunciation.
And then you go, Jesus. Oh, wait, no, really,
Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot. All right, Matthew, you're on with Kathy.
All right, Matthew. Hi. Yes or no?
Yes.
Is that your final answer?
No.
You're changing your mind. You're changing your answer to no or
yes.
No that. Okay.
Are you sure?
Yes, it's no.
All right. He's a no. No is now locked in, correct?
Yes.
Stupid move, man. Oh. You wow. Do not win. Incorrect, sir.
Listen, this is not a game without problems.
Steve, I've had a request, and if you're okay with this, some people would like to have a listener play with Manthi.
Okay.
Can Manthi play yes or no?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay. We'll get a caller on the line. Right. This caller will get to play.
You got to get Manthi out of the crapper.
With Manthi. She's in the crapper?
Yeah, here she comes. Okay.
All right. Hi, Chris. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, you're on with Manthi.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
All right, how are
you? I went to Westchester. Did you know that? And I did keg stands a lot. And I did them in dresses, and sometimes I didn't have underwear on.
Oh, God.
And it sounded like a breeze blowing through a tree on a summer's day. Are you ready to play, my friend?
I'm ready.
All right. You've heard how the others have played the game. You heard how Kathy herself played the game. The question I have for you is, Chris, yes or no?
I'm going to say yes.
Is that your final answer, Chris? Chris, are you there, or has your mother taken the phone from you?
Is that your final answer, Chris? Wait, did we lose him?
We lost him.
We just lost him.
How, we lost Chris?
Yeah.
It's a disaster. Chris, call back.
Yeah, Chris is going to have to call back.
Call me.
If we can get him back on, we'll stick with his original answer, yes, and yes. Your original answer.
I'll just sit over here, all right?
Well, it's going to take a while. I don't know how we'll ever get a hold of him.
Was he on line 8?
Was he on line 8?
Yeah, but I just put it on hold.
Did you put it on hold?
Hold on. Yeah, I did. So.
You did?
So, or no, it's on hold in there.
It's on hold in there?
I think that... Shut up.
You can't pick it back up?
Can't pick it back up?
A new person on the phone?
I think it's a new person.
There's a new person on the phone.
Yeah, so...
Aww, Chris.
All right, well, we'll move on. We'll do another one. And I'm not going to reveal whether he was right or wrong.
We remember, though.
No, because we got to keep that question for the next guy.
Do we?
Let's just go to the next caller.
It's too bad, because if that would have been a winner, I would love to have heard Manthi get all excited for our winner. So, but
nipples get very hard.
We can't.
You can do another
Your
one.
Your nipples get very hard.
So hard.
Finger brown.
It's like a little X-Acto knife. It's the weirdest thing. I can make balsa wood racing cars with them.
you need an X-Acto knife to cut the balsa wood.
Cut the balsa wood.
So they're that sharp.
They're that sharp.
Wow. Okay.
It's something with the estrogen.
All right. Well, we're moving on. You have estrogen? I'm going to go to Mike next. Hey, Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, we're playing yes or no. So it's Nick's turn.
Nick's turn.
All right. We got to pick this up a little
bit. All right, Mike,
so
you ready?
Let's move along.
Let's do it.
Okay, Mike, yes or no?
I'm talking a big ol' yes.
Mike, you are correct.
That's it.
Go with your guts.
Yeah, gotta go with your gut. Hang on, Mike.
Did you see that? Done with the confidence of the Philly.
Tickets to the Flyers game tonight against the Blue Jackets. And I do want to remind you that the 2018-19 season tickets are available now if you are interested. We have time for a couple of more. Let me go to John X. Hey, John.
Hey.
How you doing, buddy?
Good. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. We are playing the dumbest game ever created. It is yes or no. And I ask to you, John, I've written down a word, yes or no.
I'm going to go with yes.
Oh, God, you're awesome. You got it!
Yes!
That's correct. You're going to the game tonight, John. Hang on just a second.
That's how you do it.
That's how you play that game. All right. Let me see. What do we got? Case, you?
All right. I got it.
All right. We'll go to Rhonda next. Hey, Rhonda. How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. We're playing Yes or No. You and Casey are up for it.
Rhonda, you share a name with Al's girlfriend back on Melmac. Is it yes or no?
You know, I feel a lot of positivity in the room, and I got to go with yes.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
Oh, oh.
You know what? It was that stupid stuff about Alf that threw you off.
Rhonda, that's incorrect. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Did we get Chris back yet?
No, we did not. But do you want to play with another contestant?
If you guys want, though, I think it's only fair. Should I? Yeah. I guess it's my turn. I could.
Yeah, you can.
I'll do it. Yeah, sure. Why not?
All right, let me go to Victoria. Hey, Victoria.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing today?
Good morning.
Good, yourself?
Doing well.
All right, so you're on with Manthi for the yes or no. You ready to play?
All right, Victoria, you're going to pick up the baton from Chris. It was a little bit of a letdown, all right? So the question for you is, simply put, girl to girl, yes or no?
I'm going to go with yes.
Ouch.
All right, listen to me carefully. Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Not picking up on the clues.
No dice,
it
Victoria.
Was no.
No, it was no.
So sorry.
No dice.
All right, we'll go on.
No dice.
Let me go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how you doing, bud?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Not a bad Jose. All right, Jeff, we have the Kathy that's going to play with you. Not Manthi. This is Kathy.
All right, Jeff, give it to us, yes or no.
All right, I really want to go to this game, so I'm feeling yes.
Okay, are you sure about that?
Are
you can change your answer.
Really sure?
No.
All right, what's your final answer?
Yes.
Your final answer is yes?
Yes.
Though you...
He just
really wanted to go.
I know. Jeff, that's incorrect. I'm sorry.
Damn it.
Right or wrong, you get a chance to submit an answer, and we'll ask you if you're sure, and then you can change it if you want, but if not, we move on.
Life is cruel.
I know, it is.
It's like
we see a lion run after an impala and eat it, because, you know, you like them both, but the lion's got to live, too.
Yeah.
Deep.
Yeah, all right, really let's go next to George. Hey, George.
Hey,
George. All right, you're on with Nick. Here we go.
George, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Yes or no?
I'll say yes.
Is that your final answer?
Yes, it is. Yes, you will. Of course it is.
Listen, even if you're doing this faster or not.
George, hang on the line. We're going to set you up. You got tickets to tonight's game. I think we have time for... We do one more, Case?
Yo, two more.
All right, two more. All right, and that will be it. Two more pair of tickets.
Two more.
I'm going to go to Paul. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Good morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay.
All right, Paul, I have written down a word. It's Preston. You need to tell me, is it yes or is it no, Paul?
I'm going to say yes.
He says yes, and that is your final answer, sir.
Yes.
And it's a good one.
You got it, man. Amazing how he divined the accurate and correct answer.
You're going to the Flyers game tonight. Hang on just a second. We'll set you up with a pair of tickets for the Flyers against the Columbus Blue Jackets. Last pair of tickets to give away.
By the way, people are asking how they can play this game at home. We have a full set of instructions on PrestonSteve.com.
Yes, you do need the rules in order to play along with yes or no. I'm going to go to Scott next. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Durka.
Durka, Durka, buddy, you're on with Casey.
And a Durka to you, Scott. Is the answer, Scott, is it yes or is it no?
I'm going to take a long shot here, and I'm just going to go with the Philly special and say yes.
Final answer?
Yes, final answer. Yes!
Good call, my man. Hang on, Scott, and you will get a pair of tickets to tonight's game. So nice job to all of our contestants this morning with yes or no. We only had a couple of losers.
No.
More winners than we did losers, so that's a good thing. And a reminder that, yes, Flyers tickets for season, if you want the season tickets for next season, they are available now. And, of course, the fight for the playoffs is just heating up, so don't miss any Flyers action with big rivals headed to Philadelphia in March. Tickets for all upcoming games start at just $39, by the way. And the next home game after tonight is next Thursday, and that's March 1st, 7 p.m. against the Carolina Hurricanes. And I believe tonight's game is on WMMR.
Correct.
So you will be able to catch that tonight, live coverage of the event. So thank you for playing once again. Yes or No? Yay! Yay! A Bill Todman production. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a moment. The lovely Emmy from our Totally Elvis calendar, Miss February, is on our hottie cam in our studio this morning. Don't miss that as well. And a few guests coming up on the show, including The Machine, Bert Kreischer, will be here. Be back in a second.
93.3 WMMR and Victory Brewing Company present Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic, Friday, March 2nd at Jack Frost Mountain. Think you can build a sled to conquer the tubing hill and make the finish line? Or maybe it'll fall apart, but look cool enough to score a prize. Get your sled registered now at WMMR.com. $1,000 cash prize for best design, beer for a year for best victory sled, and $500 for the fastest. Plus, get in a full day on the slopes with the $9.33 lift ticket special, available through February 28th at noon, but only while supplies last. So get them before they're gone at WMMR.com. Cap off the day at our Victory Homegrown Happy Hour with Victory Brewing Company, brewers of your new American lager. It's Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, thank you very much, Kath. Let us do the B-File, then we're going to welcome some guests to the studio.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
That is brought to you by Jack Frost, Big Boulder Ski Areas. Don't miss the Cardboard Classic. Yeah, that's happening. March 2nd. It's a week from tomorrow.
Jesus.
At Jack Frost. Details, registration, $9.33. Lift tickets at WMMR.com. JFBB, where the snow comes first. So here's a follow-up story for you. Out of the UK, a suspected drug dealer on a record-breaking toilet strike has now gone 34 days without pooping.
Holy, is that... How are you not dead?
I know, because he's been eating regularly, too. So Lamar Chambers is nearing his sixth week in custody after police arrested and detained him on January 17th. Recent details from his appearance at Chelmsford Magistrates Court yesterday show that there was actually a reference to him passing stools in the hospital. Unfortunately, the prosecutor, Kathy Wilson, said that no fecal matter was collected.
Well, this is an obvious losing proposition. And eventually, surgically, they'll go in.
And so his case goes on. They said, he did wipe his bottom, and there was a stain on the toilet paper, she said.
He did wipe his bottom, at which point we observed a brown stain on the paper.
Had any amount of fecal matter been passed, we would not be in this position today, she said.
That is an astonishing amount of time to hold it in.
His toilet strike made history on day 24 when Chambers broke the British record for spending the most days in police custody.
I tell you what, this could be a very inspiring movie starring Daniel Day-Lewis.
Officers believe he swallowed some of the drugs before his arrest and they have been patiently waiting for him to finally go ever since. But
can't they give him like Dugalax?
With this waiting game now in its second month, Essex police had no choice but to request more time to detain him in court. Chambers appeared before magistrates yesterday where police appealed to keep him in custody for another 5 days. Ms. Wilson said Chambers has not properly been to the toilet in some 33 days. His poo strike is nearing its sixth week, Ms. Wilson said. Chambers has daily checks and is taken to the hospital when he makes a request. He was even given taken to special facilities at Stansted Airport to encourage him to do the deed.
Everybody craps at the airport. How about a 24-ounce black coffee and a bran muffin?
It almost seems... impossible to... No, it's impossible. He's got to be doing it in the shower or something like that and just kind of pushing
it. But he's under constant observation.
They're watching him all the time. So he's been eating inside his cell. He started out eating Frosty's cereal bars and as time went on, he would eat up to 8 of them a day. However, he has now swapped the bars for fruit and vegetables. It was also revealed how Chambers ate some fish made by his mother just before he appeared before magistrates.
Oh, my God.
Police started a hashtag called hashtag Poo Watch.
Yeah, prunes smoothie.
To keep us all updated about any sudden movements. But after 24 days, the force stopped providing updates on the situation. They were doing a regular posting, like on Facebook, every day of what was going on.
It's like waiting for the baby giraffe to be born.
Yeah, they basically have stopped. They said they will have one final announcement when he does what he needs to do. So we'll see if
they really honestly, just because worldwide people are curious, set up a webcam.
I would
watch it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to watch a bald eagle's egg hatch, yeah, I'd watch this.
Hey, China has launched its latest crackdown against a phenomenon which just won't seem to die in rural areas, and that is funeral strippers.
Yeah, we heard about this.
What? The Ministry of Culture said last month that it was targeting striptease and other obscene, pornographic, and vulgar performances at funerals, weddings, and traditional Chinese New Year public gatherings.
But when you're buried, I think, don't you at least have the right to go out the way you want to go out?
Yeah, but the war on strippers at funerals has been a long one for China. Authorities first began clamping down on obscene performances in 2006 and launched a second campaign in 2015. The latest is focused on 19 cities across 4 provinces. Some communities in rural China reportedly believe that bigger attendances at funerals help to honor the dead and bring them good fortune.
So they sort of stack the deck with strippers?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
But some experts say the erotic shows pay tribute to fertility.
I have to imagine that a funeral stripper is like a day stripper at most clubs.
Reports say the new campaign involves people being offered financial rewards to contact a special hotline to report funeral misdeeds. Media has often blamed the shows on increasing decadence and materialism of Chinese families as the country opens up to the West. In recent decades, the Global Times said Chinese rural households are more inclined to show off their disposable incomes by paying out several times their annual income for actors, singers, comedians, and most recently strippers.
That's amazing.
To comfort the bereaved and entertain the mourners.
All right.
So it's a big party.
And in this time of bereavement, the best we can do is a stripper.
Yeah. And you know what? We'll have time for one more quick story. And let's do this one. A 57-year-old woman who tased a man to keep him from leaving was charged with battery. The victim told the sheriff's office deputy, who responded, that after he got tired of being tased, he called 911.
Enough of this.
Yeah.
All right, well, woman, I've reached my limit.
He said they had been upstairs, quote, chilling, when she got up and grabbed the taser.
We was told chillaxing.
He said he hit her to try to stop her and then called 911. The victim did have marks on his left flank consistent with being tased.
What, do they have the TV remote and the taser side by side?
I guess so. The two lived together and had been in a sexual relationship for 16 years.
Never should have bought that goddamn thing.
And he just got tired of being tased. Eventually called 911.
Enough.
All right, and there you go. That is what we have in the Bizarre File for you this morning. Before we do take a break, we are going to talk to two guests who are in the studio to talk about a fundraising event.
Yes.
And we want to welcome back our good friend from Fox 29, Lucy Nolan. Yay!
Good morning.
Hello, Lucy. How are you?
Hello. Excellent. Thank Wonderful. You so much.
And we are welcoming as well, first-time visitor. You're going to have to get nice and close to the microphone. We have Stephanie Senna, who is
Yay!
Here this morning.
To be following up fecal matter. Straight.
On this show, it's an honor.
Yeah, it's really what you get.
That's some of our most popular programming, to be honest. But no, listen, you're behind the first student-run emergency housing unit of Philadelphia.
That's correct.
All right, so these are for homeless people, and there's an addition to this of not just being a regular shelter. And with Lucy here, we know it's pet related. For sure.
Yep.
So do tell us a little bit more about this.
Sure. I founded the organization 8 years ago with my college students at Villanova, and now we're at 8 universities. And it's not just a shelter because we look to move people on into housing. So it's not a Band-Aid. But over the 7.5 years of operating, we had to turn away people who had pets with them because there's no shelters on the East Coast, or as Lucy likes to say,
East of the West Coast.
Yeah. East of the
West Coast that house people and their pets. And so there's in Philadelphia last year, about 250 people experiencing homelessness died, many of them from hypothermia. And of those, many had their pets with them. So I said, we will not allow this in Philadelphia anymore. So we're opening a shelter.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Yeah, so it's about getting people back on their feet and animals back on their paws,
well,
basically.
My wife and I, Claire, we took a tour of the intended facility. And the whole concept is great because, you'll drive along and you'll see these people and you'll know that there's a code blue in effect and you'll see these homeless people and you're like, oh, dear God, please go inside. But you guys were sort of informing us that they have a dog that's maybe their only and best friend in the world, and they refuse to go into a shelter, and subsequently they will die and the animal will die.
Well, they can't go into the shelter because there's no shelter that allows the animals along with them.
Right. So they die. Right. They'll end up both dying, and that's a loss. And just on a super brutally cold night and a heat wave, people can die both ways. This is something that is why didn't someone think of this before sort of thing.
Yes, and my students and my board and I say we will not let our neighbors die on the streets.
Right.
So we're coming together as a city. It's amazing because this is all hands on deck is what we like to say. And we really, people from all sectors, from schools and mosques and churches and corporations, business, city council, Lucy, media, people all over coming together to say we're going to put our arms around each other and this is a community and we're going to care for each other and make sure people get back onto their feet.
So right now the mission is there's a GoFundMe set up that has a lot of information and pictures.
Absolutely.
About what the mission statement is. And so we're looking to see if people would be so kind as to donate and help get to the goal.
Absolutely. And our goal is to house people, but also it's really all inclusive. So we're going to have a rooftop garden. We're having a gym, a library. We're going to have job training. We'll have mental health care and physical health care help. We also are partnering with Morris Animal Refuge, who's providing animal care, which is key.
It's crucial because, a lot of these animals coming off the streets, they need the same type of help that the people need coming off the streets. So Morris is helping on that side of things. And if there's ever an emergency, like Mount Laurel Animal Hospital says that they'll help out too. So you've got all these partners from across the area coming together.
It's a wonderful thing. And the fact that, the sad notion that someone has their best buddy there and they will not go or would before not be able to go into a shelter, now they can do that is great. So it's definitely a step in the right direction. Statistically, a fair amount of people died this way because of this. And this is, as you said, Lucy, this is not you're coming here to live forever. It is a transitional to get you back up on your feet.
Not a Band-Aid. Yeah, because you're back on your feet. You don't just come in for the night. You come in and we help you with the next part of your life.
Yes. And the plans are great. And my wife and I are mightily impressed by what you're doing.
How many people will the shelter be able to house at any given time?
So this is amazing, but upwards of 100 people in their own bedrooms.
Yeah.
So that's crucial because we're a low barrier shelter. So we are allowing people to come in with their pets, their partners, and their property. So those three P's are the reason why people often stay out on the street and can't access shelter. So we're co-ed and we will have families. We have rooms big enough for families.
And this is not a scary place. That's the thing. This is all about family. And the men that you currently have under your care right now are your family.
100%. So we go with them into the hospital when they're sick. We take care of them, anything that they need, but they are our family. And I'm on the phone with them during the day. I'm there every single night. There's families from Meredith Elementary and Philadelphia School and schools all through the region who come and prepare dinners every night. So this really, it's all inclusive, but it's also about bringing people together. So people who are experiencing homelessness on the street, they're often strangers to us, and we have this sense that they're dirty, something's wrong with them, maybe they have mental illness, if they're talking to themselves. And so we keep this distance from them. But the truth is, people on the street are much more likely to be the victims of abuse than the perpetrators. And we're all looking for connection. So when we bring them into the shelter, it's not just enough that we're housing them and feeding them, but we're loving them and creating community with them. And it's also an opportunity for our youth, our children, to come in. And so they don't just look at us and them. They look at me and Malik and Tyrone. And these are people and friendships that they have that stick with them. And then they think twice about how they treat people on the streets.
Oh, that's cool.
Where's
the house?
Right now, we can't quite say.
Oh, okay.
But it's hopefully in the Frankfurt section of the city.
I saw it. It's a large facility with an incredible future, if everything comes to fruition the way you guys are planning on that, is that
we're
would
close.
Be assisted with
on
this GoFundMe.
On the cusp.
We're almost there. It's so exciting. And so we've been operating shelter. We're currently operating a shelter. So this is very important that we know how to move people on. We have a track record at our organization's 3HUP.
Yeah, you're not neophytes in this area. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think your wife, actually, I had lunch with her once, and she said that when Lucy told her for the first time, there's somebody who's opening a shelter for people and their pets, Lucy said, it's never going to happen. Claire said it's never going to happen. And then Lucy said, they've been doing this work for 7 years, moving people out of the mm-hmm. home assistant housing. Mm-hmm. And Claire said, this is absolutely going to happen.
Exactly.
That's why I married her. Her commitment.
Absolutely. How much money do you need to raise?
$20 million. No. What
you have
we're
a
looking,
goal.
Yeah, I mean, our operating budget is about $300,000 a year, and that's going to be coming from a variety of different places, including corporate sponsorship, grants, and city funding as well. But we have always been reliant on the community to come forward because the community has a huge investment in this, and really we're all connected to each other. So we need help from the city, from people listening, your listeners. So go donate. A part of it will help to the building. Getting the building purchased, and the other part will help with operations.
And the information is on PrestonSteve.com.
It is. And we also have a fundraiser coming up March 10th at Connie's Rick Rack. It's our fourth annual concert. So much fun. $25 donation per ticket on the GoFundMe page. And there's more information about it on our GoFundMe page and also on our Facebook page. Please follow us on Facebook. It's Facebook/3HUP, which is SREHUP.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, some people over there right now, make a donation, make a difference. It's really cool. So good luck with everything.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks, Stephanie. Lucy, good to see you guys.
Good to see you guys.
Thank you. Take a break and we'll be right back. Our buddy Kreischer, Bert Kreischer, the machine here. Stay there.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy. Take me down to the bottom. Fozzy. Stone Temple Pilots.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Thanks, Kath. We got a little social call from a friend of ours. He's in the studio, and he's here just to hang out because all his shows are sold out.
Well, Philly loves him.
He does. We do. And please welcome the machine, Bert Kreischer. Yeah. Oh,
it's great to be here.
Hey, how are you?
I am doing fantastic.
Wonderful. You hijacked our Instagram account for a moment.
Yeah, the best is that people, I hijacked it and then people were commenting and I was replying back to them. Oh, Bert's a super famous comedian that all the women are attracted to that work here. And they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like, forgetting that I still have the Instagram account. Yeah, it's so funny. I see those. It's super stale when you see like, Amy Schumer takes over someone's Tinder account. And you're like, oh, yeah. What's the worst that can happen? So I was like, I'll take over this and we'll get crazy. And then I remembered, like, you guys could get in legit trouble.
Well, if you start pledging allegiance to ISIS, yeah, that could be on our behalf. Yeah, that could be an issue.
There's an app where the whole screen's covered in snow, and with your finger you draw hearts. I was going to draw a swastika.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then I was like, because that's what I do to my friends.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, they could get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, yes. It's a tough sell to the advertisers.
Well, yeah. Listen, I love you, and I love following you on Instagram. I think you're a great follow, but yesterday I was a little confused by what was going on. Now, I don't know. If you want to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't care.
Okay,
yeah.
So
I got a lot of emails from people involved with the Mexican Mafia.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
Nope, I'm being dead serious.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is with you?
Apparently, okay, Google whoever you talk about before you talk about them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Step one.
That's step one. So I go to the LAX airport, and a fist fight breaks out.
I saw this on TMZ, maybe two days ago or yesterday, and it's some rapper that I'd never heard of.
It was yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning. So he's like where the sky cabs are, and those guys, whatever they call them.
Yeah.
Right out this at the sidewalk, this punky kid with tattoos all over his face, and he gets into a brawl. And then later on, Nick brings up that you had mentioned, continue the story, but I'm like, this is weird happenstance.
So I pull up, and as I pull up, the fight is breaking up, and the cops are there.
You're seeing it in person.
Yeah, and I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And this older black guy is like, I don't know, who's going to fight at curbside?
Yeah.
And so I go in, and then I go into my, I do clear thing.
Yeah.
Clear, and I say that I know them, I do go there so much. And then I go, hey, what's going on with the fight? And the guy goes, oh, 6'9". And I go, who's 6'9"? By the way, 6'9 is 5'3 in real life.
And is like, it 69 or 6'9?
6'9.
Okay.
Tashiki 6'9 or something.
All right.
So then I go, really? And then this girl goes, oh my God, 6'9 was here? And they're like, yeah, he's right there. And he's standing in line waiting through security. So I'm like, okay. So I look at him. He's got a whole posse with him. They had just been in a fist fight. I Google him and realize, and they're like, TMZ caught it all. I Google him and realize he has an album coming out tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God, these kids are brilliant. That they would stage a fight.
Uh-huh.
And what's the worst? Someone goes to jail, but his album sales go through the roof.
Right.
Yeah.
So I start going, man, this kid's brilliant. I got to be honest with you. I don't know who he is. I don't listen to his music, but his marketing is genius.
Yeah, you spelled genius wrong, by the way.
Did I?
Yes. Oh. Which is the best, when you spell something like genius wrong. But you were on your way here then, I
assume? I was on my way flying here. Get on the plane, land, and my phone blows up.
Yeah.
And it's everyone being like, yo, man, take down your posts about 6ix9ine. He's a pedophile.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And they're like, just trust me. And then everyone starts texting me. I got this from my friend in the Mexican mafia. There's a hit out on him. They're trying to kill the kid.
Oh, so the word,
like,
was,
by the way, he's like 17 or 18, I
he
think.
He just turned 18, but he had sex with a 13-year-old.
With a 13-year-old.
So, yeah. But he claimed
I don't know any of this.
I did a little research.
Okay.
He claimed he was 17 at the time he had turned 18. So, still 17 and 13 is creepy enough, but it would be legal at a certain...
I don't know. I it's state by state, and there's more than one charge against this
guy,
too.
I have a 13-year-old, and I would not.
No.
Yeah. I got a 13-year-old.
It's creepy. No.
She has a hard time talking to 14-year-olds.
Right, right. So, yeah. So whatever it was disgusting, but it was that. That's the only incident I saw pop up. I didn't see others. And Nick says there are others.
Well, I have a friend who liked his music a couple of weeks ago, and I was talking to her about it. It's our friend Devin, actually, and she told me about this guy. I didn't know about him either.
God, she likes that guy.
I know, but
he's
now
a moron.
Well, now she doesn't. Yeah. She liked his music.
She has the musical taste of Lou Ferrigno.
Without the whole pedophile thing, this dude's a moron. I saw him talking. I'm just anyway. Go ahead.
Oh, he's it's
yeah.
It is, I'm not a big fan, like, I guess I'm what they call an old head.
Yeah.
When hip-hop, because I don't get all the Lils.
Yeah.
There's a big Lil.
Lil Yachty.
Oh, yeah.
Lil Yachty, Lil Pump, Lil Dump.
Yeah.
Lil Yeezy.
Lil everything. I guess that's what Lil is to the kids now, what Ice was to us back in the day.
Yeah.
Everyone was Ice, now everyone's Lil.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I hang out with the people at LAX. I'm there so much, and one of the girls was like, playing music for me. She's like, this is my jam. And I was like,
I don't get it.
But the Mexican mob has a hit out on him.
If I had my phone, I'll read it to you.
If you
I left my phone in my jacket. But yeah, there's the Mexican mafia, the Pyrus, and the Bloods all have a hit out on
him. So is it because of this, the underage sex stuff, or just in general?
I guess.
You know, because Cardi B pissed off the Crips. You saw that.
I don't know who Cardi B is. Okay. And my goal is to never know who she is. I think if I never know who she is, I'll be a happier man.
As terrifying as it is, it's sort of our job to know these people.
Here's the text I get. Hey, buddy, just sending this to you. Please delete these posts of Tekashi 6ix9ine. He's dipping his toes into some real S. And there's a green light on that 6ix9ine guy. Everyone from the Mexican mafia, the local Crips and Pyrus, I've been looking for him all weekend.
Jesus.
That's the other thing, is that they think those guys showed up at the airport looking for him.
Oh, that's what the fight was?
Like, yeah, looking for him. But then one of the guys was like, I don't like the way he treats women. And you're like, the whole culture, hip-hop culture is not really Me Too friendly. Oh my God, speaking of which, have you guys talked about the David Cross, Amanda, whatever his
no.
name?
No.
Oh.
Lay it on us.
Yeah. Oh, that's the crazy one.
Amanda who?
No, what's his wife's name? Rose?
No, not Amber Rose. His wife is from the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
She's a Me Too activist.
She's a Me Too activist, but she had her own issue because...
Amber Tamblyn,
because David Cross apparently was sexist and racist to an Asian who was working on his show, correct?
If you see this girl, Charlene Yee, run. She has, there's not one person that's met her that hasn't come away by looking racist.
Really?
She lit up the other guy, too.
Yeah, I saw that.
She lights up everyone. Yeah. I'm like, man, I don't know if I've met you. I'm sure if I've met you, I've offended you. I offend people of color all, not like black people,
yeah,
but like super sensitive people when you're like, oh, man, where are you from? And they go, you're not supposed to ask that. And you're like, no, I meant, where are you from? from? Like, yeah. not like where, what island? Where are you from? Yeah. Philadelphia? Like, why can't I just be a regular human being anymore?
I know. Yeah.
David Cross supported Jeffrey Tambor. And that's the rule is you're not supposed to support anyone. If there's an allegation, they're guilty. That's the rule.
Which is becoming more and more problematic. It's becoming more and more problematic.
Yeah, we should all keep our jobs and change subjects, man. That parade was fun, huh?
Yeah. It was awesome.
Jeez, this hey, how was your show that in Detroit that night? Yeah?
That was a crazy...
Right, what happened? Go ahead.
I was telling Kathy outside, I had two beers with you guys, but my buzz from the night before kicked in after those two beers really hard.
Well, you showed up and you seemed pretty together at the parade broadcast. Yeah. You were. And then and so you were in like the lull before the storm.
Yeah, I know. And so I had the two beers and then I got to the part where you're supposed to like you try to get to my hotel and the streets were blocked off. They're barricaded.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't get to my hotel. I started panicking. Black guy grabs me. He goes, trying to get across. I go, yeah. Reaches in his backpack, pulls out a Bud Light Ice or an ice. It was whatever it was, ice. And he goes, follow me. Hands me a beer. And he takes me through the subway system to the other side. I was like, you are an angel. You're an angel. And gave me a beer. And he walked out. So I kill that beer. I get to my room. I'm like, I have 45 minutes. You know what? I'm just going to fall asleep on this flight. I'll have a couple more beers and room service. Get to the airport shaky going, huh? I think I'm going to have a vodka soda. Vodka soda. Get on the plane. Fly to Detroit. Wake up in Detroit. And I'm like, wait, I'm supposed to perform? And then get there. It was a great show, but then I had to, and then I get in a car service to drive because I have a show the next day in Indianapolis, and that's when the biggest snowstorm of the year comes in.
Oh, that's right.
And some idiot smokes a lot of pot, and now all the snowflakes are racing at the front of the car like I'm going through space, like I'm going through deep warp.
Yeah.
I am white-knuckling this car ride in a snowstorm.
God. You're in the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, it was horrific. I was like, I said to myself after that week, I was like, I'm never doing this again. I'm never doing a party like this again.
Till the next time.
Yeah.
Well, what cracked us up is that you came to town wholly unaware that the Eagles were having their championship parade.
Yeah.
And you were in actually scouting locations for the special you're doing tonight.
Saturday.
Saturday. And so that by happenstance, you happened to be in town for what is arguably one of the most historic days the city's ever seen.
I'm so glad I was there. Everyone's like, wow, how lucky are you? I was like, lucky? I don't know about lucky. But I love, one of my favorite things was I come back and I'm watching the news.
Yeah.
And I love how you guys had to paint it. As in, like, and everyone's friendly. No, everyone's friendly. No one's tipping cars over at all, right? Like, the media was like, everyone's having a really good time, and no one's eating horse manure, or, like, no one's throwing everyone.
Hey, horse manure was eaten before the parade.
Yeah. That was Super Bowl night. We're a little gun-shy now, you know, because the national media is waiting to pounce.
Oh.
They're waiting to pounce just the same way we, as fans and citizens of this area, are waiting to pounce when something else happens in another city. And
we hate.
See, it's not us. It's not just us. It happens everywhere. See? And it's like, guys, it happened in another city. Let that happen without, you know, inserting ourselves into this conversation.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, Eliza's shooting her special. Eliza Schlesinger's shooting her special tomorrow night, I think.
Okay.
In San Francisco on a aircraft carrier.
Oh.
And so she's been posting tweets like, hey, guys, dress in your best party goblin outfits and bundle up because it'll be cold. But come in your favorite party goblin outfit. I think that's her thing.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking about doing the same thing, but going, hey, Philly, let's not start pre-partying at 4:00 for the Saturday show. Like, have a drink when you get to the venue. Let's not get so hammered that we ruin a $300,000 production.
Let me ask you, is that a real, I mean,
a very real concern.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I've done shows here where the chaos has broken out.
Yeah.
But that's not just Philly, that's my fans.
But it's by your doing too, like take the afternoon off shows are totally structured around that.
I had a dude stand up at one of my Tampa calling sick to work shows in the middle of the show, and he just stands up, he goes, I have 3 months to live.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh, wow. Why would you share that in the middle of a comedy show?
Yeah.
And then I tried to back out of it. I was like, let me get you a drink. Buy you a drink. And he's like, rum and Diet Coke. I was like, I don't know why we're going diet, brother.
Yeah.
3 months, enjoy the sugar.
Rum and interferon.
Yeah. But, yeah, that chaos. Yeah. I did one of the shows I did in Indiana right after I left you guys. we do topless shots.
Yeah.
At that bar. So upstairs, everyone takes their top off and drinks. Man, shirts were a great invention.
Yeah. Like, it didn't go the way you thought.
It's like it's just a lot of people, you don't expect them to have like the their like breasts kind of like yeah. like men.
Like yeah, yeah. like puffy.
Yeah. Movies. And you're like, yeah. you're like oh, bro, you looked so manly with your shirt on. And then you took it off. And then women, my favorite was when women do it and you're like, oh my gosh, like you look like a wife. Like you look okay. All right. Wow.
Oh, you had kids.
Oh, wow. Oh, someone had a C-section. Oh, neat.
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
Let's talk about that. So with Saturday night and with the show and with it's a big ticket item. It's very important to you. So
yeah.
The edict right now is if you can show up at the
just have fun. The thing is, I don't want to lose the energy that are my live shows for the taping.
Yeah, but
I don't think we run the risk of anyone being that much of an idiot other than my cousins. My cousins are home. I got a text from my cousin Abe. He goes, hey, I don't want to bother you, but I know this week's really, you're really worked up about this week, but can I get preferred seating instead of general admission? And then that was the first text. I go, yeah. And he goes, and can I get into the green room? And I go, yeah. And he goes, how much access will I have to the green room? And I'm like,
oh, my
Abe.
God.
I go, enough, Abe. And then my wife's like, I'll take care of this. I go, but that's what my cousins, every show I've ever done in Philly, the green room's been theirs. They literally
just take it over.
Come in and out of the green room while the show's going. That's the restroom they use is the green room.
Do they eat all your...
They come in. And I always have a thing of Yinglings. They kill all the Yinglings before I even start because I don't drink before I go on stage.
Yeah.
And they just murder all the Yinglings. And they're like, we should get more Yinglings, right? they're family. I love them like anything, but they are. That's family. You know, that's what.
It's work for you, obviously, but it's a night out for them. It's a party.
And, yeah.
And so they have access to the party, and they get in that mindset, and that's why they have all the Yinglings.
Oh, it's the best. I mean, I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. But I'm always like, guys, I got to work tonight. Like they'll call me when they're pre-partying for my show. They're like, "Yo, we're at that cigar bar over there." They're like, "You want to come get hammered with us?" And I'm like, "Guys, I gotta work."
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So I wanted to ask you because I went to this Todd Glass show years ago, and he got so drunk in the first show that he doesn't remember the second show, and he ended up refunding everybody and doing another show for free. Have you ever had something like that happen where you've just gotten so obliterated that you're embarrassed by it the next day or even the next morning?
Come on.
Well, you said you don't drink before the show.
Yeah, I've definitely had those times.
You see from experience, though. Listen, now,
yeah. But you can surf that. That's your ability, right? I mean, that's not unfamiliar territory to you.
I had a show, a Call and Sick to Work show, in Tampa.
All right.
I went in to do Cowhead show early in the morning, and they were making Manhattans.
Okay.
And so I do, you know, just like here, I do the radio show, then go to the club. I have like four or five Manhattans before the show. Get there and they're like, we're out of beer. They already drank all the beer. And I was like, there's no more beer. And they're like, all we have is mixed drinks. So I start drinking in the green room. I get on stage. I get on stage. I wake up in a house I've never been to in my life. I wake up and all I can think is, how did I get off stage? Like, by the way, it's the middle of the afternoon. I'm thinking, how did I get off stage? Like, it's nighttime's coming.
Yeah.
I've never been to this house in my life. And I'm looking around. And I'm like, this is insane. Like, I don't know how I got off stage. And I don't know where I am. How did I get here? Did I tell the machine story? Like, I'm going through all these things in my head. And then I look and I'm like, this house has pictures of me. There's pictures of me in this house. And I'm like, oh, my God. All of a sudden, my dad walks in. And I realized they had bought a new house, and I've never been to it. And he took me to his new house.
Oh, my God.
I woke up in his new house.
Why are there pictures of me?
Lost my check.
Yeah.
Gave out Tom Segura's phone number on stage.
Oh, wow.
He had to get a new phone number.
Oh, my God. Man.
I called him on stage, and it went to his voicemail, and it says, you have called 323. And I gave out his number. Everyone called him. He had to get a new phone number. They asked me to tell the machine story, and this is how I got off stage, apparently. I'm done. I'm done with you. And I walked off stage. If you look on Facebook, you can see pictures of me clearly blacked out, clearly out of it, of just like eyes closed, doing a meet and greet, eyes closed. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And so after that, you were like, you woke up and you were okay? Or did you have that feeling where you're like, oh, God?
I reached into my pocket. I couldn't find the check. I was really depressed. And then I had to go on a cruise the next day with Cowhead. I went on Cowhead's cruise and then proceeded to black out for that. But but yeah, that show was like, oh, I can't do it. Because they were sending shots of Fireball to stage. And this is when I thought Fireball wasn't a drink. Like, I was like, there's no alcohol in Fireball.
Right.
And now I think I'm allergic to it.
Well, by the way, we always have to answer for the various booze selections in the studio here when people come by. What's this about? It's Kreischer. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Hey, did anybody else cash your check or what happened with that?
I had to write back and get a new check. I had no idea where I left it. I left it in the green room or something, I'm sure.
Is that the worst one that's ever happened to you?
That's the worst.
Yeah.
That's the hands down the worst. I've had a lot of... See, the problem is with that one bad, there's like 20 good ones. And there's like even like getting high. I don't like to get high. I do not like to get high and get on stage because you have these really brilliant thoughts, but they come in paragraph form in your head and you can't articulate them.
Yep.
Like it's so, I don't like to get, now, especially when you're working up to a special, I don't drink at all before I go on stage, or I'll have my first drink on the second show when I start to tell the machine story is when I have my first drink.
Well, if I may ask, the investment in this is coming from where? Who's putting up?
Oh, it's Netflix.
It's Netflix. Okay. So they put up the money and you obviously feel you owe them the best you can deliver. You're a professional.
So that's the part of like what is the blurred line of me.
Yeah.
Is that people forget, like even my friends forget, oh yeah, I'm a stand-up comedian. Like I also like to party, but I also like to tell stories and write jokes. And,
yeah.
And so I do that for a living. Like...
Well, it's like sometimes with us, is like my wife used to come to the events we'd do and I'd go be working and she'd be alone and we realized listen, we love doing things and meeting the listeners and sharing time with the listeners, but we are working.
Oh,
and it's a different animal.
There's a side of me that no one sees. I think they think that I get up on stage and wing it, but like I've recorded 128 gigabyte cards worth of shows. And I've watched every one of them, and I've gone through, I've taken my stories, I've made them tighter.
Yeah.
I've worked on jokes where I know my weaknesses are. And it's like the machine story. It looks like I just tell it off the top of my head. I told it 4 years on stage with it failing before it ever got good.
Okay.
So, like, that's part of the working part of it.
Does that become an albatross at some point? That like the machine story?
No, look, someone said to me the other day, these meet and greets ever get old? And I was like, no, because for 18 years, no one wanted to talk to me.
Yeah.
And it's just been this year, this past full year. I mean, Philly, it's always been good here for me. But it's been just this past year where it's like good across the board, across the world. Like
that's awesome.
Sold out 5 shows in Australia. And so if you had said to me the first time I walked in here, hey, Bert, in 7 years, how long? 7 years, 10 years. You're going to be known for one of your jokes. Will you take that? I'd be like, oh my God, anyone will know anything I've ever done? Oh my God, I'll take it. I'll take it. Yeah. Like if you had tell any comic right now, would you take Jim Gaffigan's Hot Pockets joke?
Right.
I'd be like, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Anyone would love to be known for anything in this business.
But there's so much, obviously, and you know, and we know, there's so much more that you do. And you know, the stage show is always consistently great. You're always changing it and adapting, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's funny because you've had a sort of a rare type of career. All the travel shows and all the adventure, Bert the Conqueror stuff, that seems to be like a whole other person. And you morphed into this rocking, touring, stand-up.
Oh, it's the best thing that ever could have happened to me was probably that machine story. Because when I got fired from Travel Channel a year ago.
Yeah.
And not fired, but they just didn't pick up my contract. And I was like, what am I going to do? Because I always thought the old business plan was like, get on TV, stay on TV, get famous on TV, sell tickets on the road.
Yeah.
And then that machine story went viral. And you know the only reason it went viral is because that one girl in my class was one of the first ones to comment.
No, explain.
I posted the machine story. So I get fired from Travel Channel a year ago. I do my special for Showtime. No one watches it. Like, literally no one. I had a New Year's Eve gig. I was getting paid a lot of money, and I lost the club all that money. No one showed up.
Wow.
And I was like, and on the 27th, I posted that machine story. I go and do the 28, 29, 30, whatever, for the club. And I'm looking on my phone, and I remember looking at the machine store. I thought no one was going to see it. I hired a marketing company, $3,000 a month, to help me promote the video. They did nothing. Post a machine story, and I remember sitting backstage, about to go on stage, looking at it, and it had like 30,000 views. And I was like, oh, that's not bad. But it had 20,000 shares. And I was like, that seems like a lot.
Yeah.
And then I looked at the comments, and one of the comments was from this girl, and she says, I was on this trip with Bert. This story is 100% true. He robbed us. And then she tagged everyone in my class.
Wow.
And then they all corroborated. They're like, yes, this story is 100% true. He robbed all of us. Here's pictures.
Yeah.
And then they posted pictures of the trip. They're like, and then people started going, wait, which one's Igor? And they were like, that one's Igor. We don't, that's a picture of the two Igors on the train.
Wow.
And it's all in the comment section. So then everyone saw that and were like, oh my God, this is a true story. Posted it. I remember going to my first show in Jersey and Vinnie Brand was there. I didn't think anyone was going to come. I was getting played a flat rate, right? And he comes backstage. He's like, it was a snowstorm. It was a blizzard. He's like, dude, you sold out all the shows. You sold out all the shows. I can't believe you sold out all the shows. I go to Buffalo the next week, and they're like, you sold out all the shows. And I was like, what, are you kidding me? And I come up on stage. I go, do you guys know me from my Travel Channel show? And they're like, what? And it was like Travel Channel was erased from my history. Like, yeah. No one even knows I did it, because all anyone knows is the machine. And me and Segura got into that weight loss competition, and that blew up. Then we did Sober October. That blew up. All these like little things that are just organic, you know, they're like...
You built it virally.
You couldn't hire a marketing company for them, you know, like just the dumbest things.
Is that wild, though? Because you... I think I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, there was a little bit of a... You know, it was a little bit of an uphill battle for the stand-up career.
Oh, entirely. But it was that one video and that one girl, Susan Hodgson's her name. She's the one that posted.
Do you communicate with her?
I saw her in Minnesota. She came to one of my shows.
Wow.
Yeah. And so.
That's so cool.
Yeah. She was like, it's great to see you. And I was like, it's great. Sorry I robbed you.
Once people could contextually say, that's a true story and get the validation on it, then they wanted to hear what it's about.
What's crazier is I told Travel Channel when we were doing Birth Conqueror, I was like, yo, we've got a lot of viral clips in this.
Yeah.
I think we should post them and let them go viral and to promote the show. And they were like, you know what? You do you, we'll do us. That was their kind of... They're like, you know what? We got it. After that machine story went viral, they posted one of my clips from Bert the Conqueror.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to estimate, but I'll only be off by probably 10 million.
Yeah.
300 million views.
Wow.
What?
And now they post clips from Bert the Conqueror all the time. All of them get 10... And the only reason they have a digital presence at all on Facebook is because of Bert the Conqueror.
Yeah.
Part of me is like, good, I'm glad I'm done with that. I would never go back to television. I make more money on my podcast than I ever made on Bert the Conqueror.
Yeah.
And so I would never go back to television. I'm so grateful for like a handful of people. Tommy Segura, Joe Rogan, Susan Hodgson.
Yeah.
one chick happened to be on her phone and was like, oh, yeah, this is true. She didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And then
crazy, though. That little simple gesture was everything.
Dude. And then you think, like, I always think I think about this a lot of like the sliding doors in life. I tested for a sitcom one time that Paul F. Tompkins got. And I remember thinking I should get this. And that morning, I was looking for something under my bed and I lifted, like an idiot, I lifted my mattress up and I wanted to get under there. So I held my mattress up with my head.
Yeah.
And it tore my neck and I couldn't move my neck.
Whoa.
And that's the clip. How many views does it have on Facebook?
264 million.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just looking at that. All right, so your neck.
And so I tore my neck and I could not do the audition. I went in and I was like this, and they're like, are you okay? And I said, I hurt my neck today and I couldn't do the audition. And I often think, if I had got that role, where my life would have gone.
Well, right? That show had to be canceled. He's not on.
Yeah, well, he was supposed to play like a dad like me.
Okay.
And, you know, he doesn't even have kids. Nothing against Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic actor. I'm sure he could play a dad. But it wasn't like the perfect fit for him, I didn't think.
Right.
It was me, Paul F. Tompkins, Chris Kattan, and Gary Valentine were testing.
Mm. Chris Kattan?
Chris Kattan. That's what I said. I was like, what kind of dad is this?
We need, you know, like a Bert Kreischer, Chris Kattan type.
It was the weirdest casting.
Yeah.
And even crazier, the guy that was directing it was the guy who directed Van Wilder.
Oh, really?
So I wanted to be like, yo, right here, bro.
Yeah, you're the basis of Van Wilder, for people who don't know, is based on you.
But, well, yeah, but I didn't get it. And I remember thinking, like, I've been thinking about that all week. I'm so happy with where I am today. Like, I'm the happiest I've ever been in my entire life.
It was totally worth all of the, I don't want to call them failures, but...
No, total failures.
Yeah.
I look back at the failures now and I go, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You know what it's always... It reminds me of the old Looney Tunes where somebody gets hit in the head and they're on the construction site and the girders are passing by and they step off onto the other girder. And it's always that thing. And that's the way I kind of view... there were a number of missed calls in my life that actually led to opportunities. And you always have to keep your radar open to the fact that these are there are things in play that you haven't even seen yet that will reveal themselves to you. You just have to be receptive to it.
It all starts with the girl. This girl giving me the clap.
With the clap.
That's where it started.
You were saved by a social disease.
It all starts with that.
All right. So do tell.
This girl gave me the clap. I dated her for 5 years. She was my girlfriend. She slept with my best friend. And then she gave me the clap. I remember going to the doctor, and he was like, "Yo, she's a hoe." By the way, this is
that a medical term?
No, this is. He used the more formal re. I don't know if you can say it on WHORE. I don't know if you can say that on
whore.
Yeah. Oh, like an idiot, I just spelled it. Yeah. Like you can't spell it. So he was like, "Your girlfriend's a whore," and I was like, "What?" This, by the way, this is when you thought doctors were like older. He's probably just 27 years old.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a god kid.
Dude.
And he was like, she's a whore, man. And I go, "No, you got that wrong." He goes, "Let me ask you a question. When you go to a bar, do you and your junk split up to cover more territory?" And I was like, "Excuse me?" And he goes, "Do you?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Then I'm telling you right now, if you're telling me you haven't slept with anyone else, just her, she gave it to you. She's a whore. She's sleeping around. That's how you get it. You just sleep around."
Yeah. Oh
my God. And I was like, "That's impossible. I want the test." And he was like, "I can just give you the medicine. You don't need the test." And I went, "No, I don't. I must not have it. She's not a whore." And he's like, "All right, I'll give you the test. Q-tip."
Yep.
Yes.
I remember saying, yeah, "Brace yourself." And I held on to the thing, and he did it. And I was like, "She's a whore." She's a whore. And then I went to her, and I confronted her. And I said, "Yo, I have the clap. You gave it to me." And she's like, "No, that's impossible." And then I said what the doctor said. "Let me tell you something. When I go to the bar, me and my junk don't split up to cover more territory, okay?" And so, but if that girl hadn't done that, because I told that girl I wanted to be a comedian. I laid in bed the morning of the Miami-Florida State game, and I said, "I think I want to be a comedian." Because right after Russia, I'd gone to Europe, and I backpacked, and I ran into a group called The State. I ran into them in Greece. Yeah. We all partied in Greece. And I met them, and I said, "How do I get into comedy?" And David Wayne said, "Just write all the time. Write down jokes. Anything funny, write it down." And that whole summer, I said, I was funny traveling. Everyone liked me. I could make people laugh. And I was like, "I'm going to be a comedian." Came home. First week back, have sex with her, laying in bed, Florida State Miami game. I say, "I think I want to be a comedian." And she was an actress, still is. And she was like,
"Not somebody we would know, is it?"
No.
Okay.
No. Regional theater, stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
that's what we're calling porn these days.
She said, she goes, "Oh, honey, you're stupid funny. You're not smart funny. To be a comedian, you have to be smart funny, and you're stupid funny."
Wow.
So don't, you cannot.
And this is from the whore.
This is from the whore.
Oh.
And so I was like, "Oh, okay. Never tell anyone your dreams." I get the clap. I then break up with her over the period of, like, you know how those breakups go, over 6 months.
Yeah.
And then I start dating this girl who's, by the way, I love her, but just an oblivious idiot.
Yeah.
Like, I told her I wanted to be a comedian. She's like, "You should do it. Like, just, invest everything in it. Why wouldn't you, right?"
Oh, my God.
And I just ran into her last week in wherever I was, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she was like, "I'm so happy you followed your dreams." And I was like, "I am so glad you did not see the pitfalls in life that everyone else sees."
Yeah.
Like, she was just like, "Do it. Why wouldn't you? I think I want to be a shot girl." And I was like,
"Dream big."
She went to New York to be a model. And, like, she's attractive, but she's not like a model.
Yeah.
But I remember
a New York model.
And she was just walked in and she's like, "I want to be a model." And I was like, "Man, I wish everyone had more of that."
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for that girl to just give me blind confidence.
Yeah.
That I don't think. I mean, by the way, my first whole year of stand up, I did not know. I was just doing all the jokes like Angry Sanchez, or I didn't have comedy. I wasn't doing comedy.
Yeah, you had little segments, but
yeah.
You know, that's
it. And then
it.
Will Smith discovers me, and I'm like, "So glad I did this." Then you move to LA, you get a TV show, and then.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for not knowing about life.
And now you understand, like, the weird science behind comedy, the efficiency of words and all that.
Oh, yeah. I get blown away. I get blown away sometimes by just that, like, those little coincidences in life that send you on a path. And then you go, "God, what if I hadn't done that?"
Absolutely.
Well, perfect. This is a perfect example.
Go ahead.
I did not want to go to the store last week. So I have my set, and the store sometimes can be a rough place to work out, especially when you follow murderers. Mm-hmm. But I have this one story.
This is the comedy store
comedy
in LA.
Comedy store. I have this one story that I'm working on that's my closer, and it's doing really well, but I go, you find out at the store. And I go, I can't not go to the store and not work on it there. So I go up. It's about, I'm sure I've told you about it. It's about going to basketball camp at Villanova.
No.
No.
I can't tell it now because I can tell it Saturday.
All right. Okay.
So I go up. I follow Rogan, D'Elia, and Segura.
That's a good troika.
And I tell Segura, I go, hey, man, will you sit and watch my story? I go up. It tanks.
Yeah.
But it tanks because it's a story, and I just watch guys go up and murder.
Yeah.
So it doesn't tank, but it doesn't keep up with them. But what happens is, and I wake up, I'm depressed. I'm like, oh, my God, that's my closer. That's my closer. I did it twice that night.
Yeah.
Both times, same thing happened. And then I lay in bed, and I go, why did that happen? I go, oh, wait, you got to look at that failure in the right perspective. Is that you just did your closer in behind the three greatest comics working right now, arguably. And it worked in the parts you know it worked. But in this one chunk, it didn't work. Why didn't it work? And I go, oh, I know why. Because your fans allow you that opportunity to breathe with it.
Mm-hmm.
But a stranger is like, yo, what? Why are you still talking about this? So I go, oh, shorten it up. Shorten it up. Take that 11-minute story, make it 7 minutes, make it kill. Oh, take that. And then Segura told me two things. I'll tell you one off air. But and I go, yeah, you're right. Okay. So I work it. I rewrite it, rework it, reshape it. Take it on the road last week. First show I do it, it destroys like it's never destroyed.
Ah,
I was like, thank God. I sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you didn't have the balls to go out and suck in front of your friends, in front of agents, in front of managers and fans, if you don't have the balls to do that, then you're in the wrong business.
Do you know what was fun? Mm. When I did stand up, I learned, and I did it for about 10, 11 years, and I really enjoyed it. But I knew it was actually radio that stepped in out of the blue and became a thing that I just loved because it allowed me to do comedy in a different way. But the refining and there's a joy in that with stand up and having things fail and having if you can have fun on stage regardless, even if something's tanking and you're enjoying. Carson was an expert at having fun with tanking.
You got to be cool with the silence,
right?
I went up one night in the store and I was just trying to write,
yeah,
and I was bombing, and then someone just goes, talk about Anne Frank. in the audience. And then I go, I used to think Helen Keller and Anne Frank were the same person.
Right.
and it kills, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know that was funny. I thought I was an idiot. And then they laugh. And I was like, yeah, I found out the Anne Frank house. They're not. And everyone's like, what? I was like, yeah, you didn't. I tell the story. And it's very simple. I thought they were like, you want to go to the Anne Frank house? I was like, yeah, we'll get a bag of weed and get high and we'll laugh. And they're like, laugh. I go, yeah, put a plunger in our toilet, you know, chuck it up. And they're like, what? And they're like, I don't think you can go to her bathroom. And they're like, you can see the closet they kept her in. I was like, they kept her in a closet?
Oh, dude.
I swear to God. And they're like, God. Yeah, the Nazis were looking for. I go, the Nazis? You're telling me. I go, how many times did this chick roll snake eyes? Can't see, can't hear, can't talk. Locked in the closet. Nazis are looking for her. And so I tell this on stage. I get off stage and Rogan's like, please tell me that's in your act. I go, no. I was like dead serious. I go, I'm being dead serious. And he goes, that is the funniest thing. He goes, are you being serious right now? I go, I'm being dead serious. He goes, when did you find out they're not the same person? I go, at the Anne Frank house. We're high as crap. I'm telling Helen Keller jokes. Yeah. I'm like, you know she had a dog, right? And they're like, what? I was like, to my friends, I'm like, oh, he ran away. And they're like, how do you know so much about Anne Frank? I was like, well, you would too if your name was. And this lady goes, are you telling Helen Keller jokes? And I'm like, oh, my God. So then I take that story. I tell it on Comedy Central with Ari Shaffir on This Is Not Happening. And then all of a sudden you got a bit. But if you're not willing to fail or get the clap. So if you get the clap, if you have the clap, right? I think what we're saying is if you're listening and you have a venereal disease, this might be the best day of your life.
Yeah, yeah. Look at it as a plus.
Success is just around the corner.
Success is just around the corner.
We got to wrap it up here in a second, Bert. But people are texting and asking, okay, so you're at the Troc. The shows are sold out. You're doing tomorrow, but the special is on Saturday. Where's that going to air? When
Netflix?
Netflix, probably June. We just closed the deal last week.
Okay.
The beginning of this week, we just closed the deal. And there's more good news, more good things to come out of the Netflix deal.
You're going to let us know when it airs.
Oh, well, of course,
we'll pound it for you, because we're all super excited. We're super excited you're doing it here.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Todd Bierman's directing it. He grew up here.
And he was a good friends with Rob McElhenney.
Yeah, will you give Philly some props in your special? You know, like Bert Kreischer live in Philly, you know, or something like that.
I'll tell you what I was going to do. I wanted that. There's that company I like, Pilot and Captain, Captain and Pilot.
Huh.
They're a Philly company, and they do airline tickets. I was going to wear the PHL airline on stage, but I couldn't find them.
All right.
So, yeah. I
walk out with a cheesesteak.
Yeah, I walk out with a cheesesteak.
I have a Wawa shirt we can give.
There we go. Yeah.
I walk out with a Wawa shirt on. Someone said to me, do you even need a shirt to walk out on?
That's
like,
true.
I was like, well, I think if I walk out shirtless, they're like, oh, God, he's running from something.
All right, well, listen, brother, it's great to see you.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys letting me come in.
Anytime at all. When the special's coming out, obviously you'll get in touch and we'll
congratulations, man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah,
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Bert Kreischer! Yay! Sold out shows and came by anyway. We love it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Plastic Cup Boys are here. We're going to talk to them. And the lovely Emmy, Miss February, from our Totally Office calendar is on the Hottie Cam right now. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, I want to thank Jack Frost Mountain for sponsoring today's podcast. Listen, we're headed back to Jack Frost on Friday, March 2nd for our 12th annual Preston Steve Cardboard Classic. Go to WMMR.com for details to register your sled to compete for cash and prizes. From WMMR and JFBB, where the snow comes first.
Did you screw up on Valentine's Day? Are your gifts going to be in the trash next week? Flowers, chocolates? Blow her away by getting her a gift that will last forever. Steven Singer's famous 24-karat gold dip roses. They have a lifetime guarantee and are still available to save the day. IHateStevenSinger.com.
French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville has everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big-name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional info. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else?
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit HandAndStone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, now through the weekend. So tonight through Saturday night, you'll be able to check these two gentlemen out. They will be at Punchline. We are happy to welcome them back. Please give some love to the Plastic Cup Boys, Naeem Lynn and Spank.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. We don't have our plastic cups. Apologize.
Oh, we can set you up.
We got our paper cups today.
Some licking here, though.
Yeah. Do you have liquor? Yeah. We Bert Kreischer was just in, and you always have to have liquor when he's around. So.
Oh, we got our cups.
There you go.
Plastic cups for you. That's what I'm talking about. Come on now.
Let me ask you, have you guys ever been offered an endorsement? Have you ever been? I mean, it's your freaking name.
We tried.
Wouldn't Solo step forward? And
We tried. The dude died when we asked.
We've been in. Yeah.
We asked.
Nothing.
We've been in cardiac arrest.
Black guys wanted what?
They said no.
We was in negotiations with a few people. It just, nothing ever kicked off.
See, I like the idea of having your own cups because, like, whenever I go to a party or whatever, I hold on to my drink. I don't like the idea of, not that I'm going to be dosed or whatever.
I was about to say, cause somebody's trying to take advantage of you, right?
Yes. I have no appeal to both sexes. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm very obsessive compulsive about that. So right. I think the idea of traveling with your own cups is pretty smart.
Yeah, right? It is. So hopefully today someone is listening, like, you know what? Let's get these guys some money.
I mean, listen, Solo Cups, they made so much money off us. We definitely made it popular.
Okay.
We made it more popular. I'm not saying that there wasn't such thing as a beer pong before us and all that stuff. But we really made it popular.
I'm just spitballing here, but, you know, Solo Cup, right?
Right.
That's one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't you guys come up with your own?
Duo Cup.
Dose Cup.
Dose Cup.
See, this is why we need more white people.
Right.
Come on. I'm not laughing. This is serious. Yeah, this is business.
It's just plastic, right?
Hefty got one. Hefty got one. Target has a brand. We could make our own.
You could. Yeah. Screw Solo. You have your own deal. We're very excited because now you guys were at the Super Bowl, yes?
Yes.
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 And we, which is A, awesome. B, the amount of, we talked to Kevin, Kevin Hart, prior to the deal. He was off the charts excited about going to the game. You guys were there, I'm assuming, with Kevin.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah, yeah, so I wanted to pay for them tickets.
You witnessed some. We have so much great audio from him there and leading up to it. give us the blow-by-blow, because it was so hilarious seeing.
He just kept drinking.
He just kept drinking.
Yeah. After every score, we was taking shots. I'm not even going to say score. Might have been first down. We was taking shots. Every good play, we said, shots, let's go.
Yeah.
It was dope, though. That was.
So, do you guys keeping it real then, just to watch him go off the rails?
No, I was going off the rails, too. It's just that he's more popular, so more people paid attention to him.
You see Spank right near the meter, right?
Yeah. I'm dancing and angry the whole time.
All right, so at what point did you guys start keeping track of the number of drinks?
The cameraman did it after he was editing the video. He didn't know at all.
Well, trying to get up on the for the award ceremony. let us see it from your perspective. What do you remember about that?
I remember when we got on the field, we was walking. We saw all the players lined up. Then Kev walked over. They all like, hey.
They knew him.
Right. So then he just kept walking. I'm like, yo, where is he trying to go? Like, where is he going? All the players are here.
I didn't understand why we were going downstairs in the first place. It was like maybe like a minute left. And then we just started going down to the field. I was like, what's about to happen?
Yeah. And then, he's a Cowboys fan, by the way, this guy right here. That's
I don't watch football anymore. I told you. I boycotted football because of Kaepernick.
But
he accepted that free ticket to the Super Bowl.
Right? Right, yeah. I mean, I was there. I wasn't watching. I was just there for the food.
It's okay to have standards, but a Super Bowl ticket's a Super Bowl ticket.
Right.
You're going to freaking go.
Wait, so were you guys on the way down when the game actually ended?
It was a minute left, and we going down. I'm like, yo, we need to see what's going on. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
But they had TVs downstairs before we ran onto the field, so we got to watch. Oh, that was nervous. But I told Kev after, I said, man, they don't even let all the players up. What make you think they're going to let you up?
It was funny because, I mean, you, for a second, you're like, is that Kevin Hart?
Yeah.
And then you see him trying to negotiate with the guy. We're like, dude, he's
he's not getting passed. Do we have the audio of his explanation with the the security guard? I don't know if you guys have ever heard.
The funny part about that was the security guard. He said the security guard said, hey, man, I know who you are. I just can't let you go. That security guard didn't say nothing. He just kept saying no. He didn't say nothing about I know who you are.
I know who you are, but no. That's Kev showing himself. Like, no, he knew I was.
I want to mess you up, but I can't.
Were you guys with him in the video that he made in the limo later that night where his shoes were missing?
No. We was in three different cars.
So it was a big group of people.
Yeah.
And that party had to have gone all night long, right?
Oh, my goodness. Well, he went to sleep after that. I kept the party going, though.
All right.
Was that the first Super Bowl for you? Second.
No, went to Patriots versus
Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah, when they threw the interception at the last second.
Where did that game take place?
That was in Phoenix.
All right, yeah. So not quite as cold.
No, not at all. Not at all. Minnesota was freezing. We had an after party and nobody showed up. I said, what's going on?
Yeah.
I said, it's too cold. I said, okay, all right.
Brutal, but it's cool. If you're going to go do it, that's the, you guys obviously had some, Kevin got some good seats.
And that's the funny thing, too, because Kevin's like, yo, we perform a Super Bowl weekend. I'm going to just get a suite and we're going to go to the game. He's like, yo, it'd be dope if the Eagles make it.
Yeah.
And then we made it. I was like, wow. I shed a tear. I'm not going to lie.
I did.
I've been an Eagle fan for a long time, so I needed that.
As you well imagine, we thought he might make it back. I didn't know if you had any hopes or were even considering coming back for the parade. But what a freaking day that was.
We definitely was trying.
Amazing.
We definitely was trying. But he had to do some shoot. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I couldn't afford a ticket to fly back myself. I was just trying to hop on a jet with him.
when you played you were here for the Link. You opened up for...
Yes.
I mean, the state-of-the-art technology-wise years ago, it was problematic, with the way the sound was handled and everything. But now it's not impossible to do effective stand-up in a stadium, right?
Right.
But was it still something that you...
I was worried about it because, you want your voice to match the screen.
Yeah.
Because everybody's really watching on the big screen.
Yep. Right.
So, but I think it...
Was there a lag?
I don't think there was. I think it was pretty good.
Because, I mean, they were filming it, too, so it had to be on point. Right. So, but
yeah, you're right. I go to concerts and stuff. Sometimes there's a little bit of lag, little latency, and it's like, it screws it up.
It does.
A little bit.
It really does. But it was scary. It was scary just because it was outside. Mm. You know, when you do a comedy show outdoors, you got the, you know, you're dealing with all types of birds and stuff and all that.
You deal with birds.
Planes flying by. Birds. <Just
worm. laughs> Hold on before you out this punchline. It's a plane going by. Give me a minute.
That's right. It's right by the airport, too. Right. I didn't even think about that.
You're worried about all of those things being distractions, but... You know, we got a guy that hosts a show named Joey. He had to go up there and bite the bullet for everybody. So,
well, you know, and I never realized how keyed in on your performance you guys are. And I'm talking about any stand-up comedian until we hosted our own, like, it was a charity stand-up comedy thing. And there were TVs, and they were freaking out about the TVs and, like, no moving pictures and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I can imagine birds and airplanes.
Well, any peripheral distraction.
Yes.
I mean, when you guys work up your material and your pauses are important. And
timing is everything.
I mean, you talk about looking like a cat clock, you know, as you do.
And especially working in clubs and stuff, because if you've never been up on a comedy club stage, you can't see a damn thing. There are lights right in your face.
Maybe the first row.
And that's about it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you're looking at a whole stadium of people.
Yeah.
It's a different animal, man.
It's a different animal.
And it's got to be hard if you're a football fan to not fanboy out yourself.
I definitely fanboy him out. I'm on stage like, oh, wow. I think it took me about 2 minutes to get into my jokes. I was just looking around like, this is crazy.
And listen, nobody's done it since either. Nobody's gonna tackle the stadium that. So
I wonder if that'll happen again.
It'll be a while before somebody does that. I think.
Yeah.
You think Chappelle might be able to do it? He chose. I overheard he was talking to Kev. Like he was offered to do arenas, but he chose not to. He's like, nah, I need a regular comedy type atmosphere. It's not a comedy atmosphere.
There's some specific precedent. He says the saying is no roof, no rock, and I think to some people you need that. I mean, the quintessential comedy room is wide and shallow, you know, and people want it that specific way. And you have what do you guys travel with your own microphone? I know some comedians will have their own, got to have the specific mic and all that stuff.
We just got cups.
We do got our own mic, though, that go with us on the whole tour, though.
Do you?
We do. Yeah. Kev got the gold one, and we got the... I want to say platinum, but it's not platinum.
We got white gold.
We got white gold.
Let's go white gold. travels with us.
Gold plated.
That travels on the truck.
But not when we do our regular show.
Oh, no.
This weekend.
Tonight, right. No. We're using every mic that the last comedians had last week.
By the way, if you're tuning in, it's Plastic Cup Boys. It's Naeem and Spanker here, and they're going to be at Punchline tonight. Two shows on Friday, and then on Saturday as well. Did you guys have a chance to see Black Panther yet?
Yes.
All right. When did you get out and see it? Opening, well, I guess it was this last weekend.
I saw it Monday.
You did?
Yeah.
Are you guys comic book fans to begin with?
Nah.
Okay.
But I love the movies.
I love Marvel.
They're excellent. Yeah.
So I saw it. I brought my kids. Well, I saw it twice, but I brought my kids to see it. I believe it was Sunday night.
Who'd you take the other time?
I went by myself. Well, because we had a screening of it on Monday night at 7:30, and I can't take my kids to a 7:30 movie on a Monday night because they got school the next day and the rest of the week. But I took them. So here's the deal. I took them on Sunday night, and we were the theater was packed. And we were four of us. We were four of maybe 20 white people in the whole theater. All right. So people were cheering.
Mm-hmm.
And my son, he's like, why are they cheering? What's so funny about colonizer? What is so funny about this? And why? And I'm like, okay. And he's asking me during, I'm like, we're going to talk about this.
Don't talk during the goddamn movie.
Because I can't explain to him.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Well, white settlers came to Africa.
Yes. We're going to talk about this on the way home. And we basically had a social, you know, commentary for the entire ride home from the movie theater. And yeah, and it was good. And for me, I was like, you know, this movie, why is it so special to African American.
You can say black. You can say black. Yeah, I right. black. I like black.
Yeah, I like right. black.
I like black people.
Because it's not.
No, it's not African American Panther. It's a Black Panther.
Goddamn right.
Right.
And by the way, we were saying perhaps the coolest of the costumes.
Oh man,
that's just a badass looking outfit.
Really is.
I think it's dope for us because growing up, we never had like our own. Like superheroes.
Yeah.
So I feel like now we finally got one. Like we had the comical ones. Like we had Hancock.
Well, Luke Cage. Luke Cage was, I don't know if you saw the Netflix series. Yeah, cool. Excellent. Blade is a superhero.
Yeah. Blade was dope.
And I love the Blade movies.
I did.
But none of them have had this treatment, though.
No.
No. I mean, multi-million dollar.
Boom. Yeah. And he's a king.
Right.
It's, you know, it's.
They got money.
Deal. Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's also with the current climate. What's going on, everything. So we needed something to boost the morale in the black community.
A nice boost, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a good look. From a couple years ago to people being upset about the Oscars with no
Oscar
black
so white,
yeah, no black nominees.
Well, and that was a hashtag.
Yeah,
Oscar
so white.
But the thing is, I think you can take a clue or a hint from this film. You guys got to travel with like 30 bald women, which that is the coolest move. They look so good.
I'm ready for the spinoff of them.
They were the badass.
Yes,
they were. And the great thing about Marvel movies in general is that they're awesome and entertaining and fun and everything you want them to be in a comic book movie, but then they ask questions that maybe some other superhero movies don't.
Right.
What would you, if you're a superpower, what responsibilities do you have? And this Wakanda is this isolated superpower that has so much accessibility to technology. Do they stay isolated? Do they open their borders to the rest of the world? And so they ask actual world-related questions in ways that maybe another movie won't. And so, like, it's not just a great superhero movie. It's also a really smart movie.
Right. Right. It's definitely a lot of messages in it. And it was just a great thing. Like you said, we have some other black superheroes, but this one, it was the most positive. Like you said, it's a king. You know, Africa has this bad, what do you call it, vision.
Yes.
Especially by Americans. You know, we look at it like it's this bad place because of the commercials and everything, but it shows you that there's a lot of beautiful places, even though this was a fictional country.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a good look for us. You know?
Very cool. Not as inspirational as Meteor Man. Though,
right? Michael B. Jordan is a badass, man.
Dude,
that guy is a good, bad guy.
Up, man.
Whatever. I just heard my wife make a noise that I ain't heard from her in a long time when he came on the screen, so... Whatever, Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, you had noise. some everybody was ripped up in that movie.
Oh God!
Even the friggin' the guy, the actor who is does all the CGI work.
Andy Serkis.
Andy Serkis was jacked in that movie.
Yeah, the Claw.
The Claw.
That's right.
Yeah.
But Chadwick Boseman, the way he speaks in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Not only does he change his accent, but he adds this little thing. Oh, little way he talks.
I'm like, damn,
you
man.
Can hear them,
it was like
you
a young Nelson Mandela.
Yeah. I take you to Wakanda.
It's real.
Yeah.
Chadwick plays every black role.
He does.
They said they offered him, they offered him something that he turned down.
Oh, yeah, I did hear. I forgot what it
Red
was.
Red Fox.
Oh, Sam Cooke. He said they tried
Sam
to get
Cooke?
Him to do Sam Cooke.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
He did Thurgood Marshall, who he looks nothing like.
Yeah.
But
he did Jackie Robinson. Doesn't really look like Jackie Robinson. Yeah.
But that was closer than like Thurgood Marshall.
He passed on Thurgood Marshall, but he is playing Penny Marshall, which is going to be a tour de force. You know, anything in the Marshall family. So you guys, I mean, are you on the road all the time, or do you get a break? And if you get a break, what do you do in your downtime?
We only work on weekends, so
only weekends.
Yeah, only weekends. So during the week we're home with our families.
Yeah,
you know, I got a little one. I got a 2-year-old, so I'm like hands on with that, and that takes up most of my time.
Is that the brutal? Because I don't have kids, but I understand that the long rumored terrible twos are really not the case. That it's really like 3 and 4 that's the issue.
Well, I don't know what 3 and 4 is like yet, man. Yeah. She's 2.
Yeah.
But you have a lot to look forward to.
All right, so 2 is where they learn the word no, and then 3 is when they learn how to express the word no.
Mm,
right? Okay. But I loved it, all of it. Like 3 to 4 to 5, it's right, like, five it's
awesome.
The best. Now,
she's and then wait everything. Till she, then wait yeah. till she's 16. That'll be fun.
Man.
I was such a bitch at 16.
Really?
Like, I think back to my teenage years, and I think, like, I have to say sorry to my parents.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That was that bad?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of girls say that, but then when you have a daughter and then you're just going to get it back, she's going to pay you back. That's all. You have kids?
A boy.
Okay, you got lucky.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I got two girls.
Well, the truth of the matter is he had his story pressed.
That's my daughter right there. Look.
Oh, my God. Adorable.
She's the ABCs. Oh. She's concentrating. Oh.
And for as cute as they are and as much as you love her, when you're getting ready to leave for your comedy shows on a Thursday night, you see ya.
Bye. Bye. Preston had a story yesterday in the Bizarre File about a daughter who hired two guys to carjack her father to get money from.
To get money.
It's like, so, yeah, you don't want that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Carjacked her father?
Carjacked the father. Did they pistol whip him or something, too?
I don't know. Yeah. But they took a shot at
that's
him.
That's my little girl.
Yep.
That's wow. My little girl. My little sunshine.
So you guys are here for a few days, and obviously you're at Punchline. What do you do? What do you do in Philly when you're not working? Is there anything you try and get out and do or see? Or
I got to go see family.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much family here?
It's a lot.
Thrill.
I'm going to hear a bunch of, hey, let me get like $20, man. $20. I'm going to hear that all weekend, so it's good to be home, though. It's good to be home.
Do you go to the bank and just take out?
Just take out a bunch of 20s and say, here you go, auntie. Here you go, uncle. Here you go, cuz. Nephew, niece. Here you go.
Nice. You're too nice, man. You're too nice. I keep telling you.
He do tell me. He's telling me this all the time.
Really?
I just tell my family, no.
No. No. You take a harder stance.
Will they come to the shows?
If you give them a free ticket.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, like, you have to put an extra show on Thursday night just for family members, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you're from Philly, but you're from Jersey, right?
Yeah, I'm from North Jersey, but I lived here for like 11 years. I met Spank at Temple.
Yeah, we went to Temple together.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Naeem, because you were you worked at the airport for US Air.
Express, yep, US Air Express. Okay. Terminal F.
Terminal F.
So were you, did you unload and load things onto airplanes? Or, okay. All right.
Bags.
But now, were there factions, of baggage handlers, that would, fight against each other?
We heard there were baggage wars back in the day.
Yeah.
Nah, I never saw that.
Oh,
okay. People used to steal out of the bags, though. Yeah,
I believe that.
Employees?
Yeah. I worked there for about, I was there for
a few months.
Yeah.
So is it as cool as it's depicted in Die Hard 2 with the conveyor belts behind the, is that really going on? Like a whole room of conveyor belts?
A network of them.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Yep. Bags just sliding around going everywhere.
Did you ever ride it? Did you ever ride the conveyor?
Yeah, of course.
I was only there a few months.
Yeah, I was only there a few months. I did everything. Yeah. My first day, I forgot what he called. What do you call the guy that bring the planes in?
When you marshal them in.
When you're marshaling the planes in, I was on the wing, on this wing, and another person was on this wing, and they didn't check. You got to make sure there's nothing in the area when the planes come in.
Sure.
This person didn't check, and it was a tug or something over there.
A luggage bin.
Luggage bin, yeah. And the plane hit it on my first day. The whole team got suspended. I was like, that wasn't my side. Why am I getting suspended? But they suspended all of us, and we had to take drug tests. It was wild on the first day. That's why I know I'm going to be there for too long.
Pilots would be pissed, too. Oh, my God. The pilots used to get so pissed at us.
Mm. Were the pilots uppity?
They used to just get mad. We were bad about being out there when the planes would come in.
Yeah.
You know? So, because we have this little screen to let you know when the plane comes in, but sometimes it doesn't update.
Yeah.
And then the plane might be out there sitting on the runway for a few minutes before we realize it's out there. And they would just get pissed, man.
So, what about, we hear that on the other side of it, on departure, they will make you guys, or they would, you have to pull away, and then the flight can be listed as departure on time. Mm-hmm. Even if it's just sitting on the tarmac. Was that?
I think departure is the time that the jetway pulls back.
That's
when departure time is, I think. So the air was pretty good, though.
Yeah.
At least you're in Terminal F. I think that's the best terminal in the whole damn airport over there.
I think they've changed it a lot since I've been there. I mean, I haven't worked there since like 2006.
Okay.
What was your favorite airport place to eat?
At Philadelphia Airport?
Yeah.
Chick-fil-A.
Every time we fly, I don't care what terminal we go to, he got to get to that terminal to get
his food. It's BC. It's in the middle of BC. I'm going.
You can tell you something. Those waffle fries, they rock. Yeah, they're awesome.
Yep, BC, that's where it is. Nice. All right, well, the guys are in town. They are playing Punchline, 8 o'clock show tonight, and then Friday at 8 and 10, 15, and then Saturday, 7:30 and 9:45. If you want to get tickets, you can do that through Punchline, and that's Punchline Philly.
com. So, guys, thanks for coming by here this morning.
Thank you
for
having us again, man. Enjoy. Love coming here.
Paying all that money to your family while they're here.
Boy, yeah. It's on the bank close.
Silver Plastic Cup Boys.
Yeah.
Naeem and Spank on the Preston Steve Show. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
50th Birthday Concert Series presents MMRBQ 2018. Our big all-day rock festival just got bigger, starring Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots, Just Added, Korn's Jonathan Davis, and station favorites, The Record Company. Also performing, Ghost, Dorothy, Brad Key, and Jackson's local shots opener in the presence of Wolves. One day, eight bands, the best deal in rock, starting at just $35. On sale now, Ticketmaster.com. MMRBQ 2018. Join us.
I wanted to play a piece of music for Casey because last night as I was fading off to sleep, and my mind starts to wander before drift off into slumberland and think about things like, what happens after we die and so forth.
Those are heavy-weighted issues.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. But I usually have a moment of levity amongst those heavy subjects that I think about when I'm going to go to sleep, and out of nowhere... Casey popped into my head. There was a moment yesterday when we were in our Wednesday meeting that we have after the show, and it was Casey out of nowhere who just went, "From a distance."
Did I really?
You don't remember that?
No. Chuck had said, and I said the same thing.
He said from a distance.
Right,
yeah.
So he said from a distance, and so I said, "God is watching." And then you, as simultaneously, sang the song, and everyone busted out laughing.
Chuck at one point said, "Yes, you derail conversations and meetings the same way you do on the air."
Mm-hmm.
But you just went, "From a distance."
You did it in full operatic form.
Clark Griswold.
And I was about to fall asleep. I mean, right about to drift off, and that popped in, and I laughed out loud lying in bed.
I had a moment last night where sometimes I'll do my YouTube hole falling into right before bed with my little iPad Pro. And I watched the Daily Rush video of the Michael Jackson first kiss. The kiss with Lisa Marie.
Oh, Lisa Marie Presley. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Right. And Nick Murphy edited in actual footage of that event, that MTV Movie Awards, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it's just hilarious.
That's the latest Daily Rush. I haven't seen it yet. So, yes, it's apparently up, and you can watch that. And it's sponsored by Punchline Philly, by the way. Fishtown's newest comedy club, restaurant, and bar.
Preston, you turn beet red from laughing so hard in this video. That's just the opening shot is you with your hand over your mouth laughing your ass off.
I know. I'm so pale white that when I really laugh hard, my entire head turns solid red.
If you guys are, like last night I fell asleep on the couch as I was watching TV. If you guys start to feel yourself fall into a little bit of a slumber, do you hightail it to bed?
So you know what? I've been thinking... Sorry, I got excited by this question.
Do you know what?
I don't know why I don't. I know that I'll be happier once I get to bed and then I can fall asleep and have a decent night's sleep, but I fight it and I stay on the couch like a moron.
Yeah.
And then I sort of have a half of a sleep and then 2 hours later, whatever, then I'll go to bed.
So my wife at around 11 o'clock last night woke me up to go to bed. But when I woke up, she was dying laughing, right? And I'm like, and I faintly remember, like, I'm like, what did I say? Because as I was waking up, I know sound came out of my mouth, and I'm like, well, what did I say that was so funny? And she's well, it's not too far from that. She said, you know, Case, get up, you should go to bed. And I, with my eyes closed, I turn, and I look and I go, in a dead sleep.
Okay.
And so when I woke up, she was just crying, laughing. I'm like, I have no idea what I did. But then And I laughed a little bit, and then I got mad. I'm like, why don't you just leave me on good team, Calvin? My alarm is on my phone. I would have woken up from my phone alarm. I would have been fine.
Go cut a switch.
Yeah. No, when I feel that fading off moment, I'll just say it out loud. I'm gone. I'm out of here.
Okay.
I'm going to bed. I head up and I go to sleep.
You're smarter than I am.
Because I know that beautiful comfort awaits.
Yeah.
And I hate sleeping on the couch. I can't stand it. I laid down for a nap yesterday on the couch. And today, this morning, I woke up and I'm walking to the shower and I'm why am I sore?
Ow.
I didn't run, I didn't lift, I didn't do anything crazy. I was just sleeping on the freaking couch. Couches suck.
I'm with you on the couch situation.
Yeah, no
my thanks. Wife sleeps with the TV on.
So does mine. So that's why we don't sleep in the same
room. I got her this crappy little set. So we had some guests staying over at the house and she goes down to the living room. Because her sister, there's a big bed and they sleep in the same bed because they talk a lot in the whole thing and they make love to each other. No. And so I wake up and I'm seeing like almost, it's like Chernobyl glow coming out. Her nightlight was a 77-inch OLED TV. Like a TV that actually, if you stand next to it, is warm. I'm like, honey, why don't you go up to bed, kitten?
I'm with her, man.
You have the TV on.
I sleep with the TV on.
Yeah, I've stayed in for a day off at the slopes or whatever. I stayed in the same place as you, and you have to have it on.
We could sleep together, Preston. Mm-hmm. No problem.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Quiet. Well, I have a
homoerotic.
I have a fan on.
White noise.
It's cold and dark.
Same with me.
That's it, man. That's,
cold,
that's
dark.
What I need.
And I shut off the set. I shut off the TV.
But no, I can't. It's my wife and I, sleeping habits are completely opposite.
And by the way, studies have shown that if you sleep with the TV on, you are not getting full REM sleep.
How could you be?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's keeping you up.
It somehow registers with you, even though you may be unconscious.
Yes, that's how you woke up, Casey, and had the dream that you were in Rocky V.
Yeah, that's right. It was Rocky IV.
No, I wasn't. I didn't have a dream that I was in Rocky IV.
It was Rocky crying.
I had a dream
that you were selling rings on QVC.
No, I had a dream that I was invited to Sylvester Stallone's house. He had like this big estate. It was, you know, it was almost
everybody,
like
everybody. Casey's here.
So I land. I get there, and he greets me. And as he's talking to me, greeting me at his estate, he's not making any sense. And this is what I hear as he's talking to me in my dream. And when I woke up, Rocky III was on. It was when Mickey died. I was like, okay, well, there you go.
And try the hummus. It's delicious.
It's totally unintelligible.
So many chickpeas had to die for this.
Mm. All right, anyhow. We have got to do the Bizarre File, but not before.
Yes.
I give away 3 more pair of tickets to go to the hockey game tonight.
Oh!
I know, exactly. So I'll take callers 10, 11, 11, 12. I'll take callers 10, 11, and 12. At 215-263-WMMR. You will get to go to the game tonight, which is on MMR tonight, by the
yes.
way. So we'll have the full coverage of the live coverage of the game tonight.
Rock, this is Mickey in heaven. Stop crying like a pussy.
All right, so call now, 215-263-WMMR. Let's do to be five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and it's brought to you by Gwinnett Manufacturing. Are you an experienced CNC machinist, programmer, or manufacturing engineer making less than $100,000 per year? Get paid what you're worth. Apply at makechips.com. That's make chi.
Chips.
Yes, do you sell chips?
No, make.
Apply at makechips.com.
Make your future.
They wanted me to make your future. They wanted me to spell out chips.
Yes, oh, I'm looking to may my chips future.
Thank you to Gwinnett Manufacturing for sponsoring the bizarre file. A Georgia woman who had recently lost her home to her ex-husband in a bitter divorce battle decided that if she couldn't live there, nobody could. Adrienne Satterley stacked up mattresses in her living room and set them on fire. The fire quickly spread out of control. It burned down her home and damaged 19 others in her neighborhood.
Oh, dear God.
Satterley set the fire and then left the house with her two cats. Authorities say she walked for over an hour to a local Walmart, and then she called 911 to report the fire.
Well, she's going to jail for a long time.
Oh, yes, she is. Yes, she is. Her home was one of four houses that were destroyed, while 16 others suffered damage. Luckily, only one person was injured in that massive fire. Police arrested Satterley, who was charged with 14 counts of first-degree arson. And, yeah, they throw the book at you for
that.
Oh,
my God, yeah.
Three counts of aggravated animal cruelty, so she is going away. KFC lovers are being urged not to call the police over a fried chicken crisis. The fast food chain closed half of its 900 UK outlets after operational issues with its new delivery from DHL. And the police in Manchester, England, had posted, "For those who contacted the police about KFC being out of chicken, please stop doing that." Police in London joined them in tweeting the chicken shortage was not a police matter, but neither force could confirm it if it had received calls. So
what precipitated the chicken deal?
I don't know, but people were freaking out about it. Fans of the
I do love KFC.
The fast food chain have been in a flap on social media using the hashtag KFC crisis to complain that they were left feeling peckish. KFC tweeted that more than half its restaurants had reopened on Tuesday afternoon, but the crisis looks set to continue with hundreds of outlets remain closed while others will have to receive a reduced menu or shortened hours.
Hashtag beak two.
German police are investigating a case of severe pizza stalking in the western town of Dortmund. This is in Germany.
Yes, of course.
Police are looking for someone who's bombarded a lawyer by sending scores of pizzas to his office.
Bastard!
They said Wednesday the annoyed lawyer pressed charges in January, but told them that they had no idea who was behind the unwanted food deliveries. A newspaper named the lawyer as Guido Groli, who told them that...
Sounds like a Batman villain.
He had already received over 100 pizzas. Groli said, "It's so irritating, I don't even get my work done anymore." He said sometimes he notices about the first deliveries of the day pop up on his phone during his morning shower. Lately, however, the anonymous buyer's tastes have changed, and there have been deliveries of sushi, sausage, and Greek food as well.
Hey, there are worse crimes.
Yeah. Sitting around the table with your family to celebrate a birthday is usually a very special occasion, but for every birthday, there's always a cake. Now, only for this close family that this story is about, there seems to be no boundaries when it comes to celebrations as they mark the special day with what could be classed as the most inappropriate family birthday cake ever. In the video taken of this awkward joke, the family can be sitting around a kitchen table. Some have a cup of tea, others appear to have glasses of water, and a white cake has been placed in the middle of the table, and it seems innocent. But the assumed birthday girl is sitting at the head of the table, gazing at her cake, and then looks like someone is messing around with the dessert. On top of the cake is actually a giant penis. And the person playing with the cake is trying to aim the end at the birthday girl. The clip then shows the woman open her mouth, stick out her tongue, and it starts spraying icing all over in her mouth and all over her face.
Oh, my God. How did they rig that?
I'm not really sure how they did it, but everybody started laughing. This is a family, mind you.
I wonder if Sarah could do a cake like that for us.
And it isn't long before there is icing all over the table and her face, and the woman can then be seen grabbing a napkin to wipe it from her hair as well. It's not clear from the 20-second video where or when it was filmed, but it ends before they have time to cut the cake. So we're watching the video right now.
We have a cake order for the Lewinsky house?
Yes. And so it just it splatters.
Oh, I love it.
All over her.
That's too far. It's awesome.
All right, and Casey's telling me we need to wrap up right now, so we'll do that very thing. So we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. I have a lesson question. When we get back, chance for you to win some more good free stuff from us. And we'll have the trash and music news on the way as well. And me, Miss February from our Totally Office calendar, is on our studio hottie cam. We'll be back in a moment.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
It's quarter after 10, and we've seen nothing but clouds in the course of the morning and falling temperatures. A little change. We got some nice, comforting weather the last couple of days, but things are changing. So 50 our high, which we went by much earlier today, and it's going to be cooling as we go through the day. 42 is eventually where we'll settle in. And then tomorrow, showers, 47. Showers on Saturday. It's going to be a rainy, kind of a crappy weekend.
It sucks.
So if you didn't get to see Black Panther last weekend, this would be a good weekend to go do that.
Oh, yeah.
Some insider, any one of the many comedy shows that we've talked about this week. Let me see here. I think we're going to do today's lesson question. And today we're going to give away a pair of tickets to see Chris Porter Thursday, March 1st. And he'll be at Punchline Philly as well. And the question that I have for you, I think I got to go with this. What should Governor Tom Wolf's intro song be? 215-263-WMMR. What should Governor Tom Wolf's intro song be at any speaking engagement that he goes to? 215-263-WMMR. Let's even know the answer. We're going to do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, and it's brought to you this morning by Gwinnett Manufacturing. Are you an experienced CNC machinist, programmer, or manufacturing engineer making less than $100,000 per year? Get paid what you're worth. Apply at makechips.com. That's makechips.com. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, volatile talk show host Steve Wilkos admitting to a DUI after an accident in which his car struck several poles and a tree and then flipped over. Wilkos says he's been suffering bouts of depression lately over the realization that his show makes Jerry Springer look like 60 Minutes.
Oh my God.
Farrah Abraham says she's taking a teen mom producer to court after he ridiculed her adult film work. Abraham says the producer specifically insulted her latest porn movie titled Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri and My Butthole. And finally, speaking of porn, Blac Chyna insisting she did not leak a sex tape of her providing oral pleasures to a man and has no idea how it was taken off of her phone. Chyna says the whole incident has been traumatizing because she's, quote, a mother to at least a couple of kids. And that's all you're saying.
All right, we shall see if we can locate an answer this morning. And the question is, what should Governor Tom Wolf's intro song be? 215-263-WMMR. And over to the phones we go. And I'm going to go to Horace. Hey, Horace.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Okay, so Horace, what should Governor Tom Wolf's intro song be, please?
Was it Hungry Like the Wolf?
It is. Hang on a second. Hungry Like the Wolf is correct.
I like his voice. I think I found the man of my dreams.
Yeah.
And since you got it right, we're going to give you a pair of tickets to see Chris Porter Thursday, March 1st, 8 p.m. at Punchline Philly. Tickets are on sale now, punchlinephilly.com. 21 and over show, MMR VIPs. Check your email for a special $9.33 discount code. And that's good for all five of his shows that weekend. Did we use this music yesterday?
Yeah.
This is my boo, Horace.
I was hoping you would ask me. It's my new obsession, The War on Drugs. And this song is called Nothing to Find.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Well, I don't got to break the head cold. But
it's brought to you by Gwinnett Manufacturing. Are you an experienced CNC machinist, programmer, or manufacturing engineer making less than $100,000 per year? Get paid what you're worth. Apply at makechips.com. That's makechips.com. Got that right twice.
You got it right twice.
Donked it.
All right, so Chris Cornell's widow, Vicky, revealed in a Wednesday morning interview on Good Morning America that her husband fell back into addiction for the first time since 2003, the year before his death. Vicky explained approximately a year before he died, he was prescribed benzodiazepine to help him sleep. And he had torn his shoulder. The pain in the shoulder was waking him up at night. And it was keeping him up. Vicky said that the medication caused a change in her husband, remarking, "The brain of someone who has a substance use disorder is different from that of someone who doesn't. He relapsed. He had really delayed speech. He was forgetful." Chris himself admitted as much to an email to a friend that he sent last March, in which he wrote in part, "Would love to talk, had relapsed." And just 2 months later, that's when he hung himself. So she said, while I can't bring my husband back, I can help the millions of other families struggling with addiction, and I hope that we can prevent this horrific experience from happening to others.
What do you do when you're recovering?
I don't know,
and
man.
You have some sort of pain issue or pain management issue,
and you have.
And a doctor prescribes something that's going to be very questionable if you use it.
I mean, they have pain management specialists. you put somebody else in charge of your meds. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and you have to go in with a mindset though. Knowing that you're an addict,
yeah.
And that you are going to do your best to avoid it, and that's easier said than done. I'm not saying it's a simple.
Well, I got to guess it's a more than one person job. It's like you said, not somebody just managing your meds, but when you're done with your meds. Somebody is going to have to keep a very, very close eye on you. And the unfortunate part about it is not everybody has somebody that can do that for them.
And Dr. Mike always talks about these doctors who sort of give celebrity treatment to celebrities. Yeah. And maybe they're not trying to be malicious, or maybe they're starstruck, or they want to accommodate, or whatever the story is. But sometimes they do the absolute opposite of what a good doctor should do, which is really tend to the patient and not the
right
celebrity.
I mean, but you can't take any of the blame out of Chris Cornell's hands.
Nope.
You know, because the reality is like he could have taken these meds to the T all the way up until the very end, right? But the reality is if he wanted to get high, he can do it. He doesn't need a doctor's consent to do it. He doesn't need their prescriptions to do it. You know, so when he went back on these meds, you know, perhaps it woke something inside him that really had just been there the whole time anyway.
I would just hope that if I ever needed any kind of drugs at all, anytime, and as many as I'd want them, Dr. Mike would be able to get them for me.
Dr. Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know he would berate you like crazy.
No.
No,
of course not. He's the man. All right, Imagine Dragons, last story that I have for you here. Wait, I had another one.
What the hell is going on here? You haven't been the same since that chips thing.
The chi-ipes.
Chi-ipes. C-I-P-S.
Is somebody interested in your chi-ipes program?
I was spelling it chi-ips.
Chi-ipes.
Chi-ips.
You created a new letter.
You knew what I meant.
Yeah.
We've all got places to go.
Yes, my husband's interested in manufacturing chi-ipes. His name is Horace.
All right. Foo Fighters performed at the Brit Award ceremony in London for the first time on Wednesday, appearing on top of the roof of a makeshift house to recreate the video for the song that they played, The Sky's a Neighborhood. The hastily constructed ski chalet, as host Jake Whitehall had called it, was set against a moon and starlit sky backdrop. And they fell off and died. No. The band also took home the Best International Group Award for the fourth time, having won the category previously in 2008, 2012, and 2015. They have now won a total of 6 Brits over the years. Dave Grohl decided that their International Group Award, or I'm sorry, he dedicated it to the fellow rockers, saying, "This one goes out to all the musicians who get up on stage and plug in and play, and long live rock and roll."
So all right.
They're darlings in England as well.
It's funny, they're probably doing better in the awards categories overseas than they are here.
Yeah. Imagine Dragons, this was the other story, has shared a new song called Next to Me, while also revealing the dates and cities for an extensive North American summer tour. Tickets for most shows go on sale to the general public starting Saturday, March 3rd at 10 a.m. local time via Live Nation. Fans can register now through Sunday for free access to Ticketmaster's verified fan presale, which runs from Tuesday, and they will be at the BB&T Pavilion on June 30th. So they've included Philly in that. And speaking of BB&T Pavilion and all the concerts, MMRBQ, Saturday, May 19th, BB&T Pavilion. Like I said, 50th birthday concert series, obviously, and that's the big one for us, the MMRBQ. Two lineup additions, Jonathan Davis of Korn to kick off the second half of the day, and The Record Company.
Very cool.
Is going to close out the GA portion, and Record Company came out to our mixer that we had at Harrah's in Atlantic City. They were not only were they nice guys, they sounded great too.
Yeah,
they're very cool. So
and Jonathan Davis and those, that's a hell of a bill. I'm really happy with this show. You have everything from the staging and over-the-top, you know, ghost performance, which is going to be cool, to do Dorothy, and it's great.
Yeah, and of course, seasoned veterans Alice in Chains and Stone Temple Pilots are the new lead singers, so there's a lot of excitement. Tickets available. It's one day and eight bands. Tickets start at just $35. In fact, there's a limited-time Bleed Green, Save Green special offer. It's two-for-one lawn tickets while supplies last, and that's through this Sunday only. Mm. So two-for-one lawn tickets. And let's get you on board with that. And there you go. That is what I have for you, music news. One last break to take and a last moment for you to see Miss February, Emmy, on our hottie cam as we speak. So we'll be back in just a second or two. Stay with us. Don't forget a great trip for the Word of the Week prize this week.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
93.3 WMMR. We are everything that rocks. We are the radio station, and we are about to wrap up the radio program for the day. And today has been a fun show. How could it not be fun when you have people like Bert Kreischer stopping by for
yes.
a while? And Kreischer, the machine, is in town to film his next special for Netflix. And he's got three shows all together. I think he's tonight, tomorrow, and then, or does he have one on Saturday as well? Yeah, tonight, Saturday's tomorrow, and Saturday. But Saturday is the one where they're filming the actual special, and all the shows are sold out. And he wanted to come by here, which is cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah. So we'll look forward to seeing that. If you're not going to be at the shows this weekend, then it'll be out later on this year. And, of course, he'll tell us when that's coming out. But always some cool stuff to talk to him about. Thank you also to Stephanie Senna and Lucy Nolan, who came by, and they have the first shelter for humans and pets that they're working on. It's a GoFundMe campaign that they're running, and you can go through PrestonandSteve.com and donate to that. And also thank you to the Plastic Cup Boys who were here, and that's Naeem Lynn and Spank Horton.
Funny guys.
Yeah, they'll be at Punchline tonight. Tomorrow and Saturday as well, which is really cool. And thank you to Emmy, Miss February.
Yes. She's been so quiet over there.
She's been very quiet. Miss February, you can see her in on the Totally Office calendar. Or in the, I guess, yeah, not in, on, in the Totally Office.
I see it every day because it's right over Casey's shoulder.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
It's a great shot.
Her Instagram handle, which she posted on our account, is yourfavorite_toy. Mm-hmm. And so just wanted to give that out over the air as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely. We need to do the letter O of the day. And are you once again the keeper of said letter, Case? Okay, does that mean yes?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
A, as in ambiguity.
All right, we will give away a trip for two to attend an exclusive Last Supper at the Sanctuary party on location of The Walking Dead in Atlanta, including two nights hotel airfare from Philly to Atlanta, ground transportation in Atlanta, the Dead prize pack, and tickets to party with the undead. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I wish we could get that.
TV's number one show, The Walking Dead, returns this Sunday, February 25th at 9, and it's only on AMC, and you must be at least 18 years of age to enter. So we give that away tomorrow. Just one more letter is all that stands between you and that prize. Don't miss your opportunity. Speaking of prizes, before we leave, I have more Flyers tickets.
More!
The game is on MMR tonight. And I purposely, we played yes or no this morning, had a great time with it. But I purposely held on to a bunch of tickets so we could give them away all morning long. And I have six pairs to give away right now. And I will take the first six callers, 215-263-WMMR. And you will be able to go see the Flyers tonight. They are playing the Blue Jackets. And tickets are on sale for the 2018-19
fly like the Flyers
season. And fly, six callers now, you get the tickets.
Flyers, gonna fly.
Casey is singing off key on purpose, which is not easy to do.
It's not.
If you're a good singer. Hang on.
Flying.
I think this needs to be adopted officially by the Flyers. And the video needs to run.
Yes.
In the arena.
The video is fantastic.
It reminds me of a character on Kids in the Hall. I just remember either him or her saying,
I just don't like pickles.
Who's that?
Do you remember?
No.
I don't remember that character.
Sounds like Manti.
I just don't like pickles.
I just don't like pickles. They're very salty.
No.
Have you met my boo, Horace?
I watch all those Kids in the Hall episodes. That's where we got this from.
Yeah. Where are the sausages?
But I don't remember.
Let's see if I can find it.
I just don't like pickles.
All right, we'll have to look for that.
I really want to see it.
I know. No, I do too.
Just do a search. I guarantee you.
I'm dying to see it.
You'll find it.
Anyhow, we need to take this moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Radio Show today has been brought to you by Winter Airport Parking, 2070 Reader's Choice Award winner from Philadelphia Inquirer. Also brought to you by Faulkner Buick GMC and Trevos and Faulkner Buick GMC Trevos.com to be sure. And don't forget, it's also brought to you by Sprint in Royersford. Grand opening this Saturday. Jackie Bam Bam will be there from noon to 2. That's not too far from where I am. I may have to stop by and see him.
There is no cell phone store appearance like a Jackie Bam Bam.
Oh, really?
he brings it.
I want to go out to it.
He brings it to every appearance that he does. I'm jealous of him, and I'm proud of him.
All right, I may have to come out to that one. Tomorrow, as we wrap up the week, we will have some live music in the studio by Nothing But Thieves.
Love those guys.
They are going to perform here, and we'll also have comedian Mark Norman stopping by tomorrow, too. So it's going to be a fun day. That is it. We are done. Rage on, and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
What the f*** is up with grown-ass adults picking their nose and eating it? Gross!
Next message.
Hey guys, my fiance and I moved down to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I'm up this week in Pennsylvania, and I get to listen to you every morning, and I'm so excited to be back with you guys again. Love you guys so much.
Next message.
Valentine's Day. Girlfriend still pissed at me about it. Bullshit. Made up holiday. Shit.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.